The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, doesn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are playing one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, getting ready for the Washington Redskins on Sunday, 4:15 game. And in case you just woke up in the last couple days, the game will stay a 4:15 game. It will not move to the night game. There was a lot of back and forth yesterday and the day before about whether or not NBC would flex the game. They wanted to, but CBS put up a fight, and I guess Robert Kraft sided or preferred CBS. That probably had a little bit something to do with it. But a couple good points about that we'll get into a little later about maybe why it didn't flex besides what Robert Kraft or CBS wanted. That people kind of escape people. We'll talk about that a little later. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-298-0398. Paul and Andy will be here momentarily. They're down in the locker room. Not really talking to guys because there weren't a lot of guys talking. We'll see if after I left, if anybody showed up to talk. I know Deion Branch had a fairly big crowd around him. He was talking earlier. But there wasn't a lot going on. Really quiet locker room for a Thursday. So we'll talk to them about that, talk about this game coming up against the Redskins. It could be a challenge. I mean, we'll see. If the Redskins show up with their defense and if Rex Grossman plays a fairly clean game, you know, this could be a tough game, you know. The Redskins are certainly not a team that have been getting blown out every week. You know, they're competitive. They just, you know, have been coming up the wrong side of some plays and, you know, the quarterback play has been up and down this year.
It is what it is.
And that's a big key to any team winning, and so they come up on the short end of the stick most of the time. But it could be a tough game. Paul and Andy are here. What's up, guys?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
About the game.
Yeah.
And with Grossman, I think they're 4-5.
Okay.
Yeah, they went 0-3 with Beck.
Right.
Who, as Andy and I have mentioned on many occasions, is not an NFL quarterback. So when Grossman's been out there, he's a very inconsistent guy, and 4-5 is a sort of middling, inconsistent record that would be befitting of his play.
Sure.
So your description, if he played a reasonably clean game, it could be close. I agree with.
Guys, you just came from the locker room when I was there.
I was talking to you in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was fairly quiet. Anything happened after I left?
Vince Wilfork talked for a little bit. Didn't hear any of it, but... You know, he had a small group around him. Didn't seem to be a ton of activity. Deion Branch talked early.
Yeah.
Heard a little, just a very brief part of him, you know, just talking about the no huddle again. It seems to be that everybody's talking offensively. No huddle is the thing that everybody's talking about. I think Andy's pulse story this week is much more relevant in the running game. I would wonder, you know, more about the running game than about use of no huddle at this point.
If you had a more dependable running game, you wouldn't have to worry about going no huddle so much. You know,
And yeah, looking at NFL Network with some sound effects going on right now, which Brady and Belichick were involved with.
Yeah, I watched that. What did you think of that?
I didn't see it.
It was okay. Yeah.
What did they say?
What,
right then,
you want
Brady
the whole
just
thing
said,
read back to you?
No, like you just
oh,
said,
no,
Brady said.
At some point, he goes, this isn't good.
At the end, it was at the end
when
of the game.
When the touchdown, 50, you know, 7, 14, 21, somewhere in there, he's saying, this isn't good.
Yeah, I heard the stuff about, you know, they were going to Gronk, and they were just, like, sort of incredulous on the sidelines how wide open he was. And
they're
no
not
one was covering
him. It's not that hard.
Well, it's funny. If you go on to Patriots.com right now, you can see the Belichick breakdown from this week. And it was basically they ran the exact same formation three times, but each time the Colts defended it differently, and each time the Patriots were successful.
So they failed to cover it differently every time.
Right. They covered it differently each time. It was a they call it 2-on-2. They had two guys in the slot, and, you know, the two tight ends and two guys wide. And the two tight ends would just go down, and then, you know, the two wide guys. And each time the Colts covered it differently in all – three times it was successful.
Now, did the receivers do the same thing all three times?
Based
on the coverage,
no,
did
no.
they adjust and the Colts didn't adjust to anything?
Pretty much the tight ends did the same thing. They just went down the seam, pretty much. And it was the decision.
New defensive coordinator there in Indianapolis.
Paul, what do I tell you? Best play in football.
It was
you can't cover it, apparently.
Yeah.
Tight end down the seam.
So
they certainly didn't try.
But if you haven't seen that, it's really fascinating to see, you know, the kind of inside game that goes on there. That's up on Patriots.
It's also fascinating to see how wide open he was on one of them.
Oh.
I mean, 20 yards.
Well,
like
the one at the beginning of the second half.
Unbelievable.
There was one where on Gronk scored.
Yeah.
Hernandez was just as open going down the other seam. He could have gone either way, and both guys were wide open.
So why does he hate Hernandez?
Well, he was looking to the left, to the right.
I'm just kidding.
You know.
Because they wanted to get him his record, right?
Well, could be. Could be. We don't think about those things. So, all right, web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398.
Little news tidbit out of the locker room.
Yeah.
No cast for Dane Fletcher.
I saw you tweet that, and you kind of proved it by him putting on a glove.
Yes.
So it's not like he was going to put something on.
Well, no, he's had a hard cast on.
Yeah.
He could go to some sort of over-the-glove orthotic with Velcro, but he's had a hard cast on for a long, long time. There was a report yesterday. The reason it's taken so long is it actually took multiple surgeries fix whatever. That was a Shalice Manza Young Boston Globe report.
So it's a pretty complicated surgery then.
Yeah, people have been mocking him, joking about him. You know, Mike Giardi from Comcast tweeted that Teddy Bruschi came back from a stroke faster than Dane Fletcher came back thumb injury.
Wow.
He's taken a lot of heat. Fans have been ripping him. Why is he still on the team if he's, you know, sitting out games with a thumb injury? But apparently there was a little something-something to it. But it looks like he's close to getting back out there, if not ready to get back out there. And I think that's good. I said to Paul, and it was kind of a shot at some guys, I don't mean it to be, like Nico Koutavidis, to me, is a special teamer. I don't want him starting a lot of games. And I said to Paul, when you get to Denver, the option involves a lot of linebacker play, reading the pitch and making good plays. More of those guys that are on the field, I won't feel as good about it for the Patriots. If you can get Spikes or even Fletcher, who I think is more of a real defensive player for this team, back, I think that'll help you against that type of a team.
And here's where, you know, 99% of the time I agree with how Belichick handles
everything.
Talking about injuries.
Life in general.
Right. Well, that's true.
Changing the clock in his car.
That's true. But here's a case where I would wish, you know, in the case of Fletcher, I think in order to avoid all this noise that Fletcher now has to hear and has to swallow without saying anything, Belichick could come out and say, look, you know, it was a little bit more complicated surgery than.
But you can't.
Why not?
Because he has a black and white rule.
I know,
we
but
don't.
In this case, to avoid all the noise.
But
so that
I can't
no
take
noise.
It individually. He has a black and white rule.
But this is a little different.
No, it isn't. It's the same. They all have different variables and everything. Black and white, we don't talk about injuries. Black and white. Simple.
Yeah.
I think, to Andy's point, I think you open yourself up to another one that comes along afterward that you don't say anything
right.
about. Lends to speculation. Why
comparables?
Didn't he?
Now you have comparables.
This is kind of why.
And,
you know,
no, it's true. It's true. But
you can't. Yeah.
And he has changed. And this is way, 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 way back when with the old conditioning run, when I got myself in some trouble, if you recall.
Right.
The reason why was because some people he indicated didn't pass the conditioning run, and others he didn't indicate that to.
True.
And we found out that one of the people that he didn't indicate it about hadn't taken the conditioning run
right, so
with an injury. So
people were assuming
now,
the guy was,
nowadays, right. When people aren't practicing, they're put on that PUP.
Yeah.
He doesn't say they were on PUP for an injury or because right. of a conditioning run or for whatever reason. He doesn't say it. But back then, he did used to sort of, he'd have a group of 15 guys that weren't practicing, and he'd tell you about four or five different guys that were injured. You were led to believe the rest of them
right.
failed the conditioning run.
Anyone that wasn't on that list.
So
right.
I think now he just says, blanket, this is the way we do it. Everybody's in the same group. And I think that's what Andy's talking about with injuries.
Yeah.
If you say Fletcher had something that's a little bit more serious, well then, why Spike's been out for 5 weeks? He hasn't said anything about him or whatever. You know,
yeah.
You're opening up the door for someone who's not back
I hear
to be considered a malingerer.
You know, it's just like, you know, Spike, it's a knee, okay, but, you know, the thumb thing, everyone questioned because, oh, we see guys, particularly on defense, playing with casts all
him.
The time.
Plus, we saw him
right.
play with the cast
so
early.
I don't know. I just
– I think he
I
goes
feel
up,
bad. In other words, I feel bad for
I
Fletcher
do too.
That he has to listen to all this crap.
I feel bad
it.
For all of them because they all deal with it. But,
yeah.
you know, right now, Spikes is dealing with it because – he has a sprained MCL, reportedly. Mayo had a sprained MCL, reportedly.
Right.
Mayo missed two games. Spikes has been gone twice that long.
Right.
But not all sprained MCLs are the
not.
Same.
Of course not.
But because we don't talk about injuries, we don't get into that.
Right.
And some people have wondered where Spikes has been. Just like, as you guys pointed out, people have been wondering what's the deal with Fletcher. It's not fair.
Matt LePan writes in that Fletcher's been wearing a hard plastic brace the past 2 days over his glove.
Oh, I did not see that.
So.
I did not see that.
So there you go. He might be putting the hard plastic brace on once he gets out to the field.
I thought for sure it was a real cast.
So it's hard.
It's a hard plastic.
As opposed to soft.
Right. And wet.
So.
Why are you going to make it dirty?
Yeah. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
Andy Hart just told me to grow up.
Got a lot of emails thanking
Greg, you
me
see my
yesterday
new
for hanging up on Jeff in Vegas yesterday. You have a pink bracelet on, pink rubber bracelet.
You know what it says?
What does it say?
I love boobies. It's for breast cancer awareness.
I actually saw a bumper sticker that
yeah, what did it say? Does it say I love boobies?
Something like that, yeah.
I thought there was one that said, like, grab a boob and save a life or something.
No, it says save the tatas.
Save the tatas.
I've seen I love boobies.
Yeah, I've seen
those,
yeah.
Those, yeah, this is their slogan. So
now you finally have a reason to wear it.
Right.
But you're not wearing it for the altruistic reason. You're wearing it for
I love boobies.
Purient reason.
I like breasts. I'm passionate
Eric
about breasts.
I love it for all reasons.
Oh.
Somebody gave it to me and I'm wearing it. I'm supporting it.
All right. This Word with Friends thing has really blown up since Alec Baldwin. I mean, that's like the hot game now.
I mean, Eric couldn't make it the big hot game. Alec
Wait,
Baldwin.
What do you mean?
But
he was on
that wave before a lot of people.
It's been huge for like a year now.
No, but now he's taking it online with his word of the day and
Alec Baldwin or Eric?
Eric. Oh, Eric. Eric's been he is now the Pope of Word with Friends.
He doesn't even call it Word with Friends. He calls it Scrabble.
Well, whatever it is.
And he's been playing this forever. Remember when he met that girl in Virginia and he was playing it on like Facebook with her?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it blew up in his face.
Yeah, so he's been on this wave for a long time.
Yes, he's clearly played Scrabble all his life. As I said, when most of us were out having fun, playing with friends, chasing girls, playing sports, he was playing Scrabble. Probably with his mother.
All right. What else do we got? Anything going into the
Anything?
Game? Any new developments? Andre Carter going up against his old team.
Against not only his old team, but a new starter at left tackle because Williams is out there, left tackle, because of a suspension.
Okay.
Still didn't look up the name of that guy. Someone asked me that yesterday.
The replacement?
Trent Williams' replacement.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Oh.
So.
Should probably look that up.
Yeah.
What's the, you know.
Good six-pack.
Over the last few weeks, there's been a theme that's developed. You know, probably initiated by Bill Belichick for the week.
Finish.
Has there been a theme this week?
Finish.
Finish?
Yeah.
60 minutes?
Yes. They might be in trouble, the Redskins.
Really?
I'm not as fearful of this game as you are, and I think this team is very much focused on finishing a game, and that could come at the cost of the Redskins. Now, he respects Shanahan, so I don't know how those two factors come into play.
See, I would like it if he ran it up on Shanahan.
Me too.
I hate Shanahan. Then the eye starts twitching, and, you know.
I do too.
Who has a twitch?
Shanahan has
a little weird thing going on with
his. Oh, yeah.
That's probably from being in the tanning bed too much.
Plus, it could be. Probably from having his eyes as wide open as they can usually. Yeah. And then. He's got a weird tick going on.
He had it in Denver.
Fred's right.
That's why I started calling him Captain Ahab at the end, because, you know, he was always kind of.
I don't remember you calling him Captain Ahab.
Yeah. I used to say that about Coughlin. Coughlin looks to me like that guy, like.
Humphrey Bogart in Caine Mutiny.
You know, that's what he reminds me of.
So, but I think that's going to be the theme, the 60 minutes, the finish, the whole thing. That is the theme this week. But I do think he respects Shanahan, so I don't know how to balance those two things out.
I think you can finish the game without running. You know, in other words, on Sunday, you can finish that game very easily. You give up the touchdown to make it 31-10, and you go out and get two or three first downs, the game's over.
Oh, yeah, if they put one of those nice four-minute drives together.
Yeah, you didn't have to win 58-10.
Right.
They could have finished that game, and they could do it that way on Sunday. I agree with you, that's the theme. I think Washington's a decent team. I don't think they're terrible.
No, they're not. Before you guys came in, I obviously talked about the game that's not being flexed next week.
Yes.
And there was a good point that I teased. I would mention to people something that I hadn't realized that kind of shed a little light on why maybe it didn't get flexed, and that is that the original rule was, you know, put in place to prevent real bad games from being on Sunday night.
The goal isn't to get the best game on.
Right.
Although, obviously, the better the game, the better for NBC. But the goal is to avoid games like last week
with the
winless teams involved, the stinkers.
Right. And San Diego and Baltimore, you could make a case that's not really a stinker. You know, San Diego's still fighting for a shot, and obviously Baltimore's one of the better teams in the AFC. So, you know, you could still make the case if you're CBS or Fox, hey, it's not that bad a game, you know. So, you know, that kind of, I can understand now where CBS might have gotten away with, you know, fighting.
Well, there's a lot of layers. I don't think it's a great game. Tebow is this draw. I don't think it's a great game if you just look at it.
Well,
ooh, Patriots,
from a football
Bronco.
Sense, from a viewing sense, it is. From an
but I'm, that's what I'm talking about. Great game.
From a ratings perspective,
it's a home
run.
They don't give a crap about that.
Whoa.
They care about ratings.
No, I know. So then that flies in that whole thing you just talked about. The rule is intended for the game, a great game or not a stinker
game. No, but I think that they would like, and I understand what Fred's point is. Look, I don't know exactly why they chose this, but I think the point is, I think that they would like to flex out as few games as possible to inconvenience. I don't think they want to flex a game every week.
Right.
If they don't have to.
Right.
And I think they felt like they didn't have to in this game. The game that was there was okay.
I don't know the exact language, but theoretically NBC paid more for this, right? That was part of pulling money out of them. We'll give you this ability.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I don't know if it was more or they felt that, you know.
Well, they paid roughly the same amount for 18 games as the other networks pay for, you know, 100 or whatever many games
but,
they broadcast.
You know, it's a national audience. It's the game. It's the only game people can watch at that time. So it's a premium game.
It is more valuable.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you should have to pay more for that exclusivity. That's what you're
paying
for.
But if you could do it on Monday night, that would be more valuable. If you could switch that game and put a better game on that night, that would become more valuable.
Except it's on cable, which, you know,
I think is irrelevant.
Yeah, less and less relevant.
But I think the reason why they don't offer that for Mondays, and
F everything up.
Maybe I'm naive, but I think it would.
No, that would.
Yeah, that's too much of a stress on the fans.
Yeah, no question.
Maybe I'm naive about that, but I think that
would F everything.
You know,
up.
I mean, think about it. There's a fair amount of people that travel to these games.
Of course.
You know,
and
if 12 days before, all of a sudden the game's played on Sunday instead of Monday.
Right. That's a big shift.
Or you're flexing a game into Monday from Sunday.
Right.
I don't think that would be very kind.
So, but
to your
it was
consumer.
Just something I hadn't realized, you know, and it kind of said, oh, okay. Now I can see CBS would have a little bit more of an argument. You know,
there's a lot of
layers
to it.
Whereas before, it was just like
Tebow specifically. They lost Tebow. They didn't want to lose this. You know, there's just so many layers to it.
I think that's a big part of it too. Is that the whole situation with last week?
Right.
Losing that game. That was a CBS game.
Yeah.
That they gave up for Fox.
Yeah.
You know, so now.
For no reason. Unprecedentedly.
Right.
If so, that's a word.
But it was a result of the flexing, again.
No, I know, but you take, I mean, there's basically a black and white rule of who covers games depending on where they are when they're interconference. Right. And
AFC,
it changed completely.
A road AFC game at an NFC place is on CBS. And they put that one on Fox. So I can understand CBS saying, listen, I did you a favor because of the this game getting flexed. I worked with the other networks. Let the other networks work for us this week. We want to get Tebow Brady.
Right.
I can understand that. I mean, it's a ratings dynamo.
Do you think that it will be the top-rated game so far this season?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it'll be the top-rated game of the week.
The 4 o'clock games have been doing very well this year.
Supposedly, by these people that know this stuff, the 4 o'clock games have the best ratings.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why wouldn't it be... Yeah, I mean, my guess is it will be the highest rated game.
At least till like 4:45. Right. It's 21-0.
Well, that's the other thing. I think they probably, NBC, if they're interested in the game, probably has what's going to be a more competitive game.
I would think so.
You know, you never know what you're going to get with San Diego. They're so trick-or-treat. But if San Diego plays a reasonable game, you're probably going to get a better game than you. I think this is what Andy said. I think there's a chance that it's 21-0 in the first quarter.
I would like that.
For the Patriots.
I need a week off.
You need a week off?
Too much stress.
When was the last time you had stress at a Patriots game?
Every week.
Onside kick.
The Giants game?
He had stress on the onside kick.
Oh, come on.
I really didn't. All right, Web Radio.
Now, if they had recovered the onside kick with 36 seconds left, that would have been... Because then I would have been thinking... You know what the only thing I would have been thinking?
Overtime?
No. I would have said, they're going to score and they're going to go for two. Wouldn't you have? Why would you kick an extra point? I would have gone for two right there.
That would have been a great story.
28-29-0, we outscored him in the fourth quarter.
Dan Orlovsky. Plus, it would have been comparable to, didn't Manning do that against Tampa where he had a huge
21 in the last
comeback?
5 minutes, yeah.
Oh, so it was a little longer period.
21-0. They came from 35-14 in the last 5 minutes, and they won in overtime.
But a guy who's never won anything, literally anything, would come back to beat Brady and Belichick in this game. That would have been a great...
If I were Dan Orlovsky and that happened...
For time.
Call it a career, take your helmet off,
right.
Leave it on the field.
Just go on the speaking
after the
tour.
After the post-game press conference, I would have said... And I just want to thank everybody was that followed me, but this will be my final game
card
in the
shows.
National Football
Mr.
League.
Mr. Comeback.
Right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the phones. Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred, you honor me with taking my call today.
The feeling is mutual.
You honor him by swallowing his...
All right.
Okay, be quiet, Andy.
I'll let you and Andy discuss this now.
No, I'll see you later. You know, I'm actually not in a competitive mood. I have two questions for you guys. One related to the Patriots and one related to something you guys said earlier. My first question is with the offense in transition next year. I kind of touched on the point earlier this week when you mocked my ultimate plan, which I think is good. But with Welker being a free agent, with Branch being gone, I think we're going to bring Welker back. But when we look at it, we're going to have Welker and we're going to have Gronk. So looking at it, we could go two routes. We could either build back a possession-based offense, and the reason I don't trust a two tight end, two spot receiver offense is. A, Hernandez gets hurt a lot, and when he's healthy, he's good, and it takes him a couple of weeks to get back, so I have real trouble basing my offense around that guy. And second, if you're going to build it, just get another slot guy, what's wrong, maybe not even with two stars like Vincent Jackson or DeSean Jackson, but what's wrong with trying to build back an 07 offense versus an 04 offense?
Well, here's the thing. You said it was going to be an offense in transition. I don't think so. They need to, add some pieces, on the wide receiver. But why is the matchup for tight ends going to be any easier in 2012 than it is in 2011? I mean, you want to add to that, but there's no transition necessary.
Well, maybe transition is a poor word, but I'm saying, imagine how much more effect. This isn't saying that once you get the receivers, the tight ends won't matter. I'm saying that I think if you have an I think Gronkowski would do better in an 0-7 offense than he is even there. Now, obviously, there's going to be more targets out, so he might not get as much chances, but defenses won't be able to focus in on him, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, add a couple receivers and, you know, and I like the run, you know, I like Ridley and I like Vereen. I think they come on next year. I think you're all set.
Well, I don't know about all. You will see them add an outside receiver.
Oh, yeah.
There will definitely be. I think there's a chance the offense could look very similar because I don't think Branch is going to have a lot of options. Everybody's assuming he's gone. I think he might be back at 800 grand just because he likes the offense. They like him. You're not investing anything. If he gets hurt, you don't lose anything. I think there's a chance he's going to be back next year. They just won't count on him. They'll be prepared. Otherwise, they'll bring in, right, you know, an outside receiver and they'll have somebody else. But
and I think that would be very smart. I think New England fans would, especially with all he's done, if Branch is the third or fourth receiver, I don't have a problem with that.
Right. And I think Brady would love it. He can count on him.
We got to get a young, talented wide receiver who's smart.
That's the issue. And I don't think
I mean, because Brady's obviously got to like the guy.
I don't think they're going to look for Deion Branch's replacement, whether he's here or not.
No.
They're going to look for the Moss, Ocho, Taylor Price replacement. Somebody who's more in that mold of a versatile outside receiver, speed, the ability to maybe get down the field. Not only a home run guy, but more of that mold, I think you'll see them go after in some way.
And I'll get on to my second question, but I was calling for that from, I think, like week three, if you guys remember, or whenever I first started to call. So, but anyhow, my second question is something you guys mentioned with that Sandusky guy. Yeah, I watched that Creep's second interview where he said, well, I can't say that I'm not attracted to children because I am. And then his lawyer yelled at him in the background, and he's like, oh, well, I mean, spend time with him, and gave this creepy little laugh.
Yeah.
I have a serious question with this, and it might sound silly, but what is the all these, not just him, but all these big coaches. I mean, when I think attractive, I don't think a 12-year-old boy. What do these guys see in these little
they're
boys?
Sick.
I mean,
they're sick. They're sick. They're twisted. They're wired wrong. And it's, you know, it's a sickness. It's not something you can go to jail for a couple years and then come out and be right. That's who they are. And right. They need, you know, to be put away and medicated or something. But they
I'm not even sure there is medication.
Yeah,
or anything.
They're just wired wrong. Right. They're wired differently than you and I.
And
you
it's
know?
Some sort of an addiction, obviously. They're addicted to the whole power, the kid, the everything.
Yeah, it's just bad wiring.
Yes.
Well, I'll let you guys go. And, I'm coming up with a poem for the pregame show. Now, I'm graduating Saturday, so I'm not sure if I can call in. I'll try. But if I can, I'll email it in.
Look forward to it, Timmy.
All right, Tim. Thanks a lot. Tim from Pensacola.
I actually thought of him while driving home yesterday because I was still thinking of the argument and everything. And using his logic, his stats, you know, Gronkowski has the numbers now, so he's way better than Witten. Would you take Wes Welker or Calvin Johnson? Because Wes Welker's numbers have always, he's always had 100 catches. I'm not sure Calvin Johnson has gotten to 100 catches. Who would you take? Watch the games and tell me who'd you take based on numbers and based on watching the game.
And that's what, didn't I say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of receivers out there whose numbers in terms of catches don't come anywhere near Wes Welker's that you would take.
Put Calvin Johnson and Tom Brady together.
Megatron.
Holy crap.
No, Brady probably wouldn't like him and would cut him a week later.
Well, he didn't make the proper adjustment on that curl.
Let's go over to Sweden.
Chad, that's the other thing.
Chad is on the line. Hey,
only
Chad.
Only PFW in Progress can take the Jag receiver side against the Hall of Famer.
What's up, Chad?
I'm good. You know, I'm preparing for my vacation at this time of the year. This is where I go on vacation, so.
Do you get a month off? Don't all you Europeans get like a month off for vacation?
It's called holiday.
Holiday?
Well, I just have, you know, 2 weeks in the entire year, but this is where I go on vacation because, you know, I live in Sweden and you understand why, but that's it, you know, not.
For the women.
Miami rich life.
Yes.
So what do you
anyway,
got?
Anyway, I just wanted, you know, to talk about because, you know, I keep hearing all that harassment on, you know, all the Patriots defense is disgusting and Belichick can't coach and Brady should retire and we should have drafted Brady Quinn and all that.
Where are you listening?
I just don't
Who's saying Brady Quinn?
Who should have drafted Brady Quinn?
We should have.
Yeah, Brady Quinn, and you know.
Never heard that.
But basically, I don't understand why Robert people Quinn. Are so alienated by, you know, the media haters and why they. I mean, come on, you got to stop with, oh my goodness, how are we going to do against the Steelers' defense? Football is about having a good quarterback. And when I hear these people say, oh, but the defense depends too much on Brady, what's all this about? Of course it depends on Brady because he's the one that has to score. It's not the defense. What did you expect that, you know, we should get 10 interceptions per game? I mean, look, we embarrassed the Jets and the Eagles who spent nearly $200 million on nothing, basically. And people were saying, oh, but, you know, he put 400 yards. They didn't score until the Eagles and tore that garbage touchdown.
Well, that's why, Chad, you got to take all this hate with a grain of salt. I mean, it's over the top. Obviously, you know, the Patriots aren't that bad. Belichick's still the best. Brady's the best. The Patriots are 9-3. You know, you can't be that bad a team. But it's also, you know, you can't discount, you know, the trepidation people have about the defense. There is some problems on the defense. And just look at the way Bill Belichick is moving guys around like, you know, a checkerboard. He, you know, by his actions, he's admitting that he's not sure about his defense, or else you'd see the same guys trotted out there every week, you know, in, you know, except for the injuries. So, you know, Belichick's on board with not being sure. But then, you know, you have to come back to the middle and say, you know, but overall, it's still one of the better teams in the NFL. And that being said, they've got a shot just like any other team.
Okay, but for example, regarding the rushing yards we've allowed, McFadden, he didn't have a big day against us. Felix Jones didn't do anything. LeSean McCoy, 30 rushing yards. And
wait,
we've got
who's complaining about the run defense? The run defense has been excellent.
But that's it, and that's what, you know, they're passing against us. But even when they're passing, they're not scoring 40 points on us. And the only time a team has scored 40 points on us is because Tom Brady threw four interceptions.
Yeah, but they're consistently scoring about 24, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. And in the playoffs, if you continue to do that, you're probably not going to be able to score 24, and that's why people are concerned. People have looked at what's happened the last couple of years, and they've seen the other team continue to get the 28 like the Jets did last year, and the Patriots' offense finally couldn't get that 28, and that's what people are worried about. We don't know what's going to happen in January. Tom Brady may go out and put 30 on the board every game.
But how many times has that happened for anyone, not Brady?
It never happens.
Because I just don't see it. Even when 07,
New
the
Orleans
started
is one of the few
down.
Teams that did that.
Did they, though, really?
They scored over 30 in all their playoff games.
But were there defensive touchdowns like
there
they
was
had
one.
All year?
There was one in the Super Bowl.
Because all I remember,
remember
is like the greatest show on turf putting up like 12 points.
They won 11,
points
11
or whatever.
6, I think, in the NFC Championship
game. All
these
high-powered offenses over history come down a bunch of notches in the postseason. That's like
that's what people are concerned about.
Except for the Colts, and then they met us, and then we knocked them down. But they were like not even punting in the playoffs until they came.
No,
to
but no. I'm not saying
win.
In one game. The Patriots The Patriots could score 40 in one playoff game, but they're not going to do it in three straight playoff games.
Thanks for the call.
No
Chad.
One's ever done that, really. Right. No high-powered offense has ever really rolled through the playoffs as a high-powered offense. As Andy points out, the best example is 500-plus point. Rams team scored 11 in the NFC at home in a dome in the NFC Championship game against Tampa Bay, but it held up.
Right.
Do you have confidence that 11 is going to hold up for the Patriots right now?
No, especially like if you do get to the Super Bowl and you're playing Breeze or Aaron Rodgers, it's almost like a tennis match
in
where,
a dome.
You know, you're going to have to match them, and if you slip up one drive, well, now you're playing from behind against a team like that, and that, it's going to be tough. So I can understand, you know, look. I think on this show, we're pretty fair. I think we come down in the middle. You know, we recognize the greatness of the team, but we also recognize how they're going to get beat if they get beat. You know, so I think we're being fair about it. But I, if he's listening to shows that are they're complaining that they should have drafted Brady Quinn, I don't know what station that's on, but
I think he's talking about
they're getting there on the short bus. I can tell you that much.
I think he's talking Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn.
I think there was something a little bit lost in the translation there. I think he was talking about Robert Quinn, but one of the things I've heard a lot of so far too is who can do that to them in the playoffs? What offense can really expose the Patriots in the playoffs?
Pittsburgh.
You know, who are you afraid of, in other words?
Pittsburgh.
That's one. Who else?
Baltimore, if they do it.
I think they
can do it.
Now, the two that Andy brought up, I would happen to agree with. I think both of those teams could do that. They might, okay?
But the point that I would make
is go back to last year and think and try to be objective and think before the Jets game who you thought could expose the Patriots. Certainly the Jets weren't that team. Coming off that 45-3 game, very few people thought the Jets were a team that could do what they did to the Patriots.
Right.
Right?
No, we thought they were going to roll.
So right now we're eliminating some teams as being able to beat the Patriots in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, Houston with a third-string quarterback.
Houston, for me, is the guy. I don't know anything about Yates.
Denver or Oakland,
but wide receiver, tight end, running back. I like what Houston has.
Like, wouldn't you say no one thinks Oakland, for example, if Oakland were to win the AFC West?
Oh, I think Oakland, yeah.
Oakland couldn't beat them, right? Most people would think.
Right.
But you didn't think last year the Jets could do it. So while I would agree with Andy, the two knee-jerk reactions, Pittsburgh, we already saw them do it.
Right, that's the most
and
obvious.
And Baltimore. I think if Flacco had a game where he threw the ball well, could do it. And they have a defense that can augment that offense. But I think it could be anybody. When you play defense as inconsistently as the Patriots do, all you would need is that one slip up by your offense to be in serious trouble.
And the problem with Pittsburgh this year, in addition to their always decent defense, is that they become a passing team.
Well, yeah,
you know, and
they have two dynamic athletes,
and that's the Patriots' weakness is defending the pass, and they have become a passing team. Roethlisberger has been having a great year. Whatever. Jose writes in. He says he's from College Park, Maryland. Been listening to the show for the past few months, and now I'm loving it. I'm 22 years old. I've been a New England Patriots fan since the 2003 Super Bowl, one of many greats. I'm just a bit pumped up for this weekend because this will be my first NFL game ever to be at. I hope the Patriots can get off to a fast start so I can see more of that special teams sub-in defense, but not really. took a lot for me to even write, but couldn't help but express my excitement and to let you know, guys know that you are awesome and Andy is hilarious, wishing to add an extra day to the show. Thank you, Jose.
Jose.
So, that's good.
Is that Maryland? College Park? Is that
College Park, Maryland?
Yeah. University of?
Yeah. I knew what you meant.
How you doing with Randy Edsel down there? I hear the
hot seat.
They're already circling.
Hot seat. Oh, really? Already on the hot seat.
Although I also heard a rumor that Jacksonville might be interested in him.
Really?
I didn't know that. But last week when I was doing a lot of preparation for the Redskins, there was a lot of stuff about Edsel on the papers that I was reading.
Told you he couldn't coach. I watched enough of him for 3 years in UConn.
You know, just handing the ball off to Donald Brown every play and then Jordan Todman every play, that ain't coaching.
What do you think about this new UMass coach?
I like it.
You heard of him?
Great idea.
On paper, it seems like a great hire. I mean, Andy knows more about his background than I do. I'll let Andy say it.
Well, no, I just think you got a big-time guy, obviously, from Notre Dame. But more importantly, you get a guy with an offense, the Brian Kelly offense, that's exciting. And if he can get some weapons, you're not going to win. You're not going to go, 7-3 right away and go to a bowl game. But you might have an offense that can be fun and exciting and try to get people here to fill the stadium and build a little energy. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see him try to do that. And I think on paper it's a great hire. You know, it may not work. You know, you face an uphill battle when you're starting a Division I program. But I think the idea of what they did is pretty good.
Mark from Cheddar writes in. He says, sorry for the long email. I'd call in, but my university timetable this semester has meant that I'm unable to. I have a few points I'd want to talk about. And, Fred, if you'd like to read this in an English accent, please feel free. I guess I will.
Go.
Number one, Jermaine Cunningham. Talk about taking up a roster spot and doing nothing. He's almost always active but never plays on anything, defense, special teams, offense. Why is he still around? You talk about the valuable roster spot that Taylor Price was wasting. This is far, far worse. At least Price was inactive for most games. Number two, what are the odds that the Chargers win the AFC West? If they win out, it only takes the Broncos and Raiders to go 1-3 over the final four games. The Broncos will lose at least one against New England and probably this week against the Chicago and the Raiders. Well, they are the Raiders. I don't bet, but the Chargers are 6-1 to win the West. If I did bet, I'd put money on that. Which brings us to number three, Jeff from Vegas. Sorry, I mean at Jeff Vegas 12. Follow me, follow me, follow me. Are you following me? I think I'm about to join Twitter just so I can follow him and get the pleasure of unfollowing him. I view him the same way I view Sergio Brown. When I first saw him, I thought, okay, let's see what he can do. But we have found out that Sergio Brown sucks. I'm sure Sergio Brown doesn't try to suck, but he sucks. I'm sure Jeff from Vegas doesn't try to suck, but he sucks. And last but not least, number four, is it true Eric agrees with everything Gino Cappelletti says? Rumors have it that they're always joined at the hip.
Your accent put that over the top.
Cappelletti.
Cappelletti. That's Mark from Cheddar. All right.
Can I just tell you?
What?
I went out because Kevin had a little bit of a mishap as he was coming in. He's carrying the 2-liter bottles of Diet Coke, and he hit the door, and it punctured a hole in the top.
Oh,
it sprayed Coke all over the place.
I have a similar little
I see him out there, like, starting to wipe stuff down. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So then I come back in, and Fred's reading an email in an accent, and I'm like, Who is the email from? Where is this guy from? Because Fred's...
Well, he told him to, too.
He asked
Fred's
to.
Dialect changed like four times in the middle of that.
I went from a Cockney to...
Yeah.
A what?
Cockney.
What's a Cockney?
That's a Cockney accent. I think it's Western, Northern Western...
Cock and take.
England, the Cockney.
I have a similar story. I dropped the milk in my kitchen the other day, and the cap shot off, and about a half gallon of milk went everywhere. So I wiped it all up. But then I took the towel and I threw it down the basement stairs.
And it stunk.
I got home last night and I thought something died in the basement. And Deidre's like, you got to look around. Maybe a rat came in and I literally was in a flashlight everywhere. And then I go, oh, and I go over to the towel. It was the most rancid smell ever.
Oh,
I really can't believe you did that.
Why?
And I hope that you just didn't wipe it up. You have to use soap because otherwise that's
going to
stink too.
Oh, yeah. I washed the floor. Oh,
okay.
No, I wiped all the milk up, and then I got the Swiffer thingy out. And did the zzz, you know, you spray it and clean it. But I just threw the towel down the stairs, and a couple days later, oh, my God. Can we answer his questions before we just laugh at him?
Do we actually have to answer them? I guess so.
He did have questions. Cunningham plays on special teams. I don't know exactly what he does, and I wouldn't call him relevant, but he plays on special teams. He certainly has done nothing on defense, but as we said, you may need him. Now, I know this is kind of a comparison to Taylor Price. You may need a young receiver, too. But if Ellis and Carter and Anderson, some of these guys are gone next year, you might need him back in a role to where he's playing. And Bill liked him enough to draft him and play him all last year. So maybe there's still something there. But he's certainly not the only guy that's taken up a roster spot. I would nominate Sean Ellis for that role, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's done in the last month and a half. And when he was playing... I told Paul, he looked old. He looked like he was really slow off the ball and just standing there.
We're all saving it all for the playoffs. Ian.
This is another one, you know, the Sean Ellis one. And this is tough because I think he's a good, solid veteran who's had a nice career and all. But the day that he made his debut against Jacksonville, I want to say, the preseason game, we saw him play a handful of snaps. And Andy and I looked at each other and we're like, did you just see how long it took him to get off the ball on that play? Like, we happened to see the same play. And everybody after the game was raving, if you recall, about not only him but Haynesworth and all that stuff. Maybe it was the Giants preseason
game. Sure, it wasn't the Tampa Bay game?
No. I don't think they played.
Nuts.
They didn't play that. Those guys didn't play until the end of the preseason. I think it was the Giants game here. It was a game that was definitely home. He looked so slow. His reaction time was just so long. And it reminded me of when Andy saw that veteran offensive lineman in training camp, Big Cat, I think it was, right? James Williams, was that who it was? And Andy just decided he's done because Andy watched him going through like some offensive line agility drills with the feet and, you know, kind of moving in and out of stances and whatnot. And just by how long it took him to do those things and how slow his feet were, Andy said he can't play anymore. And they cut him like a week later.
Right.
Well, it took Sean Ellis a week to, you know, a couple of weeks to lose his job, but he's not playing. Yeah. So obviously, Bill saw the same thing that Andy and I saw.
I mean, it looks like Ocho swinging a miss. It was another one.
$4 million too, not a cheap one.
They gave it a shot, and
I like I like the idea that they were aggressive. I just wish we'd hit on more of them.
Juan from Texas, just right.
You call it aggressive though. I don't call it aggressive.
You call aggressive going after Julius Peppers. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Not just Julius Peppers, but younger guys. Guys that,
right.
These guys are, even if they're good, you're only getting 2 years out of them. They are at the end of the career, and they all generally have some, you know, they're either too old, or they have baggage, or they've been hurt, or they've been this. Aggressive to me is a young to mid-career free agent.
But when they got those guys, I equated it at the beginning of the season, of like when he went after Anthony Pleasant and Bobby Hamilton. That helped the team. It really did.
Yeah,
it worked.
Those were his guys.
I know, but it worked. You know, and
they didn't pay those guys. Those were his guys that were coming in at $800,000.
But to me, it was the same level.
Those are veteran minimum guys, though. The difference is the reason I use the word aggressive.
But I don't think money mattered that much. They had to spend some money this year. They literally had to spend money.
So they just pissed away $10 million.
Yes. I mean, they didn't mean to. They ended up
yes,
doing that.
I mean, no.
No, they ended up doing that. But taking a risk for that amount of money didn't mean as much this year as in previous years. They had to spend money. Juan writes in, I'm just writing to let you all know that you all suck. How dare you be on only 3 times a week and only 2 hours each time? This is
Fred. This is a groundswell. We got to do something here. Make us full-time radio. Eric and you handle the paper.
This is completely off topic, but PFW is like an alcoholic drink. Andy is the ice. He keeps everything cool.
Nice.
Fred, you're the glass. You keep everything together. Paul is the alcohol. Do I really need to explain? And Eric is the little umbrella that makes everything a little bit, well, you know. Just kidding, Eric. You're awesome.
Gah.
Not really. I love this show.
And you don't really need the umbrella. It's a nice little garnish at the end, but you don't really need it.
All right. So, we're going to take a break. We have a lot of emails on my accent. They're flying in. We'll get to those right after this.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her,
but
online, I'd be dialing it up
fact,
tonight.
I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Russ in England says, in English accent, we'd say offense and defense. Defense.
With a C, right?
Right, defense.
That Eric just leaves when he posts him on.
Offense and defense is very American. Good try, but your American accent still came through.
How about capitale?
Simon says, Cockneys are from East London. The word comes from a cockerel's egg, as in something that is not to be trusted.
John Cockerel's egg?
And Simon from the UK says, worst English accent ever, but fantastic. Coke dropping and kitchen accidents remind me of iPhone autocorrect errors. I know you can't read it out, but have a chuckle with this. Loads more at the website. What the hell is he talking about?
Oh, there's a website for damnyouautocorrect.com or something.
Right.
Where everybody posts their funny little things. Should I tell people the little conversation you and Paul had?
Sure.
When you said, can I have your pickle? That's it. Move on.
You had to just make it dirty.
Well, when someone asked
for it. We both got cheeseburgers. His came with a pickle, and I wanted to know why he had a pickle and I didn't.
Because they assumed you didn't want a pickle, and they knew he wanted a pickle.
Well, how do they know that?
And they thought you were heterosexual.
And I offered to give you my pickle.
Well, I don't want your pickle because I'm eating a cookie.
Okay.
Too bad Eric's not here. He would have taken your pickle.
He would have smooched my pickle.
He's joined at the hip with Gino Capoletti.
Capoletti.
That was a good joke, actually.
That was a very good joke.
But only and people from this show would get it.
Right. You need to listen. That's part of the humor of this show and the you have to keep up. It's like those TV shows.
It's a daily soap opera.
It's like NCIS, where there's a new storyline every day, but there's also underlying long-standing storylines that if you haven't followed, you don't know what's going on.
Right. Okay.
So we're like NCIS, the highest-rated drama on network TV.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Good friend Barry Insiong, or Chris Gokong, as we like to call him, is on the line. Hey, Barry, what do we owe the pleasure to?
Hey, Fred, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good, how are you?
Good. Good to hear from all you guys. Just wanted to give you guys a couple of quick announcements, actually to primarily the fans or the listeners that will be out in D.C. for this weekend's game, that there are a couple of meetups going
on. You know, I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I myself won't be able to make it, but, you know, I'm trying to always facilitate, you know, everybody getting together. So on Saturday night, there's going to be a get-together at Kelly's Irish Times. It's in D.C., and that's going to start up at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then there'll be a tailgate starting on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. in the green parking lot. And I know that is rather vague, so rather than trying to explain exactly where the meeting spot is, I think the best thing anybody interested in joining that group is to join either the Patriots Tailgate Yahoo group or the Patriots Tailgate Facebook group, and you'll have you'll get links to the parking lot maps and a better idea, more details, some contact info for the people who are actually handling it. Buddy is the guy who's doing most of it.
Oh yeah, Buddy. So, sure.
Yeah. You know, Buddy.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, should be a good group out there and. Apparently everyone's pretty relaxed about this game because this might be the least discussion you guys have had about an opponent all season long. Have you guys even noticed that?
I mean, I've tried to bring it up, but, you know, Paul and Andy aren't biting.
Wait a minute. I'm with you. Andy's on the other side.
I'm not biting.
You're not biting.
I kind of look at it. I just don't think there's that many things you fear. You obviously fear, yet again, the pass rushers. You know, if Bill's going to go on his little monologue, it's Arakpo and Kerrigan can change the game, which is perfectly true, 100%.
Well, I think there's a lot. You know, I tend to look at numbers. And after the Colts game, while the Patriots.com numbers weren't terrible, they were a little bit off. So I think that, you know.
I thought you meant football numbers.
That's what I thought.
Now we're talking website traffic.
But I'm talking about fan interest. You know, so I think that that game combined with this game, you know, you're seeing a little bit of disinterest because another reason is next week is the game that everyone is interested in.
And it's the holiday season. I mean, that plays
well,
in.
Well, that's why, you know, you asked me if you thought it was going to be the highest rated game of the year. And I don't know because it's at a time of year where.
Oh, I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Huge!
I don't.
This week?
Yeah.
No, next week. The Broncos.
Next week.
I think it's It's the biggest rating game of the week. I don't know.
Hey, Barry, can you do me a favor? Can you just send me a quick email reminding me of where that tailgate's going to be for Sunday?
Okay.
Just send me an email because I just want to spread that around a little bit.
Sure. And as far as you guys are talking about Denver as well, obviously I know Ann Stone of Pikes Peak Patriots has been keeping you guys up to date with their plans, and I'm sure she's very relieved to know that the game was not flexed. So they can keep all the original plans intact. But, Pikes Peak Patriots, they're going to be doing a huge party and tailgate for that Denver game. And, again, if anybody needs info about that, they can join either of the Patriots tailgate Facebook or Yahoo groups. And on a more personal note, I'm going to be up in Vancouver for that Christmas Eve game. And I looked on the fan club registry, didn't see anything up there. So I just wanted to see if we have any listeners that might have a suggestion as to if there is a Patriots bar up there, or if there's any recommended sports bars to watch that.
Vancouver, Washington, or Canada?
Canada.
Downtown. Okay. So, Barry is looking for a place to watch the Patriots game in Vancouver, Canada. And I know that we have some big Patriots fans in Vancouver. No doubt about that. I will make sure that we get that info out there.
Yeah, if anybody wants to meet up on that Saturday morning, you know, before Christmas, that would be it would be good to meet them. But if not, you know, I'll just find a sports bar and check the game out. But I just figured I'd throw that out while I'm on with you guys.
Okay, tremendous. Thanks, Barry.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, Chris Gokong, always keeping us up to date with what's going on in Patriots Nation.
I want to get back to Andy's stuff with the Redskins. And
what'd I do?
I'm not predicting an upset, by the way. I'm picking the Patriots to win the game. So I'll make that clear. But
what's the spread?
8.
Oh, too low.
And I'm taking the points.
You're taking the points?
Yeah.
Wow.
The reason is...
Wow!
I just, you know, aside from Tyler Pelko, pretty much every other quarterback that this team has faced has had a lot of success.
Indeed.
Now, Rex Grossman can throw the football. Now,
indeed,
there's going to be a couple times where he throws it to the Patriots. That's why the Patriots are going to win the game.
Kyle Arrington.
Okay? He's inconsistent. He has Jabbar Gaffney and Anthony Armstrong and, you know, even Dante Stallworth is still there kicking around. Santana Moss, I think, is healthy. They have some NFL receivers to go against this secondary that I think are going to be able to move the football.
Mm-hmm.
If they do that, if they have a good amount of success running the, throwing the ball, I think Roy Helu is the kind of guy that if they don't feature him, if they feature him, they'll get shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't feature him and they try to throw the ball, as I've been saying the last couple of weeks, 3 out of every 4 or 4 out of every 5 plays, and then you throw a quick draw. He's the kind of guy that can go 20 yards.
Oh,
and make a play. He's got 100 yards in his two games as the every down back. He's been at 100 yards or more.
You're preaching to the choir on him. Yeah. I have 3 people I'm afraid of. 2 of them are the defensive end outside linebackers. 1 is the running back.
I'm just talking about offensively. I think the Patriots offense will move the ball at will against the Redskins. That's another reason why they'll win the game. But I do think that Washington can stick around by moving the ball a little bit. And the question will be, do they get 3s or 7s? If they get 3s early in the game, the Patriots will stretch it out, get the 2-score lead, and put too much pressure on Grossman. That's when the mistakes will come. But if they can score some touchdowns and stay competitive, I think the game will be close right to the end.
No chance. Without their left tackle and leading receiver, they get blowed out, as Emmett Smith would say. Blowed out. And Rex Grossman and the offense will put up more points for the Patriots than they will for the Redskins.
But it's the leading receiver in a very,
you know what Rex Grossman,
a very
is?
Balanced receiving
core. He thinks he's
core.
Good, but he's not. Tyler Pelko knows he's not good. Dan Orlovsky knows he's not good. You know, we talked about last week, he's not going to try to fit it in there and throw bombs and force plays. Rex Grossman thinks he's good, but he's not. And that hurts him because he doesn't always take what's there or, you know, throw
play
it away.
Within himself.
Yeah, he thinks he's an elite quarterback, and he's not. That's why you get that little gunslinger. Oh, I'm a gunslinger. I can do it. I can really. No, you can't. That's why you stink. That's why you're on your multiple teams, and you know you have the arm, and you might have the pedigree in the first-round pick,
wow,
but you will help the Patriots' defense more than you help the Redskins' offense. And the Andre Carter thing. I think he's going to have a big week coming off the edge against, you know, who's the guy, Paul, you like to talk about, the backup left tackle?
The guy that's playing for Trent Williams.
Brian in Baltimore writes in, just wanted to lighten the mood a little bit since the last show. There was a lot of arguing, name-calling, verbal bitch-slapping, and just downright mean-spiritedness from our callers onto
each
other.
That was just Tim.
And onto you guys. So the only thing I can think of to make everyone feel better would be a child crying. And what I mean by that is a child crying due to Tom Brady torching the little kid's favorite football team. The other day I ran into this hilarious clip on YouTube of a guy taping his kid crying about how much he hates Tom Brady while watching his team, the Eagles, get spanked.
No.
While watching, I immediately thought of all the Patriots Nation should see this. Has about 500,000 hits so far. You guys have to use some of the drops from this clip on the show. It's comedy gold.
We would put it on the blog, but we can't put videos on our blog for some reason because Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, says we can't.
Why not?
Because he says we can't.
If it's a YouTube link?
I don't know.
I think you could. You can embed a YouTube link. You get the embed tag, and you just put it in the blog. You can do that.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
You should have seen me struggle
very
to
simple.
Put a photo. Oh, I got something I need to talk about,
5-year-old
too.
Kid. Anyway, I've seen the clip. It's very funny.
I have, too. I just wonder what kind of parents they have. Because I think it's real.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think I would let my – I don't think I let Will, my 6-year-old, sit there and say he hates everybody and he's a stupid idiot and I don't know.
I love it.
It was funny. It was funny, but I don't.
I'm glad there's stupid parents out there.
Oh, there's plenty of
Why
stuff.
Why is apparently. No Sox looking at here in here very concerned?
What did we do? He's looking down his glasses.
Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Olivier's on the line. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Excellent. Bad news. I guess you didn't get the food.
No, I haven't seen your mother's Belgian waffles yet.
I know. I talked to Kevin twice already, and he said that doesn't know if the FedEx package arrived or not. Maybe on your desk, Andy, because he sent it to your name and
your mother's Belgian waffles
and
on my
Kevin as well. Too bad.
I'll keep an eye out for your mom's Belgian waffle.
Sounds good. Thank you for repeating it again. and thank you for not having any sexual innuendos.
None at all. None at all.
And, no.
And if there is, well, thank you for her.
But anyway, Andy will supply his syrup.
Really?
Good. Wow.
That was very good,
maple
actually.
Syrup. You got to have it on waffles.
Oh,
you guys.
Pretty
wow. You guys are unbelievable.
Warm syrup.
Fantastic.
Oh, jeez.
So
milky sauce. Well, if you're going to have syrup, you got to warm it. You don't warm your syrup? You got to have syrup warm. Oh, really?
I don't warm the syrup.
You got to warm the syrup. It makes all the difference
sense.
In the world.
Makes sense.
Oh, it's tremendous.
No, it makes sense.
Yep. Are you guys going to go to the green parking lot in D.C. game to hang out with the fans? Or
I don't know.
Fred will.
You don't know?
I don't know. I'm actually flying down Sunday night. Sunday morning.
Whoa. Why the change?
I have something I have to do Saturday night.
Well, what? I thought we were getting together and eating lobsters.
No. Eric will be there. But I won't.
Hey. Eric likes to meet up with fans.
Nothing like that. No. Balanced sports fan like Matt No Sox. Yeah. I hope Pujols tears his knee to shreds on the first day of spring training.
Be more like a rib injury for somebody like him.
Oh, yeah. Some kind of muscle problem.
Oblique. Torn bicep.
Oblique.
All right. What else you got, Olivier?
Well, exactly. Thank you. No one has really talked about that game. I think that it's going to be a nail-biter until the fourth quarter. And what we're going to see is we're going to see the Patriots probably, put the extra speed on the fourth quarter. It will be the opposite of what we witnessed in the last game. I think it's going to be a tight game until the fourth, and then Brady is going to put metal to the pedal, and then they're going to score a couple of touchdowns. I think that they're going to take a long time for the offense to start producing. Like, it's going to be a low scoring first half, and then it's going to be the second half that things are going to start happening. That's my prediction.
Is that a growing concern for you? I think it's six of the last seven. They haven't scored a touchdown in the first quarter. Is that an issue?
It's a major issue.
I agree.
And I'd like to think that it's part of a grandiose plan, because I'm a hopeful guy and I'm positive, and I think that it's been done to confuse the opposition for the playoffs. I know I'm naive, but that's the only thing I've got left.
Yeah,
to be too good if we have an early exit.
Now, some of them are circumstantial, as Brady said, in the sound
Thanks,
effects.
Olivier.
One drive. We got the, whatever. It's not like they've had a ton of drives in some of these games, but it's still just to me, it's a little bit of a concern, especially looking in the postseason. We know this team is going to win in the postseason based on its offense. I want that offense to be scoring first and dictating the game, not getting dictated to.
But Brady's comment is why it's a concern to me, because that can happen to this defense.
Easily.
All of a sudden, you come out on your first drive and don't score, and the other team maybe scores on its first drive, compounding that by doing what the Steelers did, long drive. Even the Colts.
That's why I would say it's actually almost better what
anybody,
the Eagles did, because they just did it in three plays.
Anybody
right?
can
At least
do
you
it.
Get Brady back on the field that way.
Anybody can do
but
it.
That was Bill's comment. Patricia and Bill are talking, and Patricia's rubbing his beard and pulling on the tip of his beard. And Belichick goes, they're going to slow this game down any way they can. That's what they're going to do. And Patricia goes, yeah, keep our offense off the field. And they're having a little huddle there. And that was clearly the plan. I just think it's so funny when you hear them say exactly what we're saying
in the press box.
But, it just proves it's really, they try to muddy it. It's just
right.
a very simple
it's
game.
It's very simple.
You run and you tackle, and yes, there's coverages, and it's coming fast, but it's still just football, and it's pretty simple.
Yep. Let's see. Aaron, I think this is. Where's my mouse? Oh, there it is. Aaron writes
the other time
from Sterling, Virginia.
Did you see that when Sound Effects was on with Bill Belichick? He was also on Comedy Central.
No.
On the South Park that we don't really talk about. Because
that's an old one.
Night?
Yeah, but I just thought it was funny that they were on head-to-head. Bill's mic'd up on one thing, and then Cartman, this is Belichick.
Right. Aaron says, we need to put Andy in his place regarding the Gronk-Witten debate. Our good friend Tim didn't have all the numbers when Andy went after him yesterday, but here's what makes his case.
Who?
Tim from Pensacola. Here's what makes Tim's case.
Yeah, that's why I was confused.
Gronk has 65 receptions on 90.
Actually, Tim had the numbers. Andy didn't. But
well, except when he tried to put me on the spot, and I knew that it was 9.
And you flipped the coin.
No, I knew it was right in that area, and I was pretty sure he hadn't had double digits, so I knew he was good but not great.
Gronk has 65 receptions on 90 targets. Witten has 61 on 92. I'd say completion percentage is a push, but Gronk does have the slightest of edges. Gronk has converted 52 first downs. Witten has converted 40. To me, this means Gronk is more clutch, but Andy will credit this all to Brady, so push. Gronk is 7th in the NFL in yards after catch with 424. Witten is 27th, 268. To me, this is decidedly advantage Gronk, but if you ask Andy, he will give Brady all the credit. But here who is –
So you want Romo as your quarterback because you don't want to give Brady any credit.
But here who here's who was throwing to the other guys that make up the top 10 in yards after catch. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Stafford, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Jay Cutler, Matt Schaub, and Joe Flacco. If great quarterbacks are responsible for yards after catch –
those are mostly great quarterbacks.
I would expect Aaron Rodgers to be on this list. He's not. So we keep the credit with the receiver advantage, Gronk.
That's because Aaron Rodgers throws the ball down the field.
Gronk has 14 touchdowns. One rushing, almost three times more than Witten at 5. Again, let's give all the credit to Brady. Sure, Witten only caught 6 touchdowns in 22 games with Bledsoe, but let's not hold that against him either because anyone not named Brady is a Jag. Unfair push.
Drew sucks.
Lastly, Gronk has 43% of all Patriots passing TDs, while Witten has 23%. This removes the Romo chokes factor unless we are to assume that he only chokes when throwing to Witten.
If I just say they're right, can you stop reading? Because you're hurting my head.
The last one. So Gronk passes the eye test, the stats test, and every other test out there. He's better than Witten. No further questions.
Oh, boy.
Okay, just move on.
My eyeballs hurt.
He obviously doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants the right numbers.
Well, he's email. He can't talk.
He just wrote eight paragraphs worth of nothing but numbers. Watch the football game and then tell me that Tony Romo's as good as Tom Brady.
And why has this had to turn into, I hate Gronk?
Exactly. Everything has to do that. Every debate that we ever have.
Gronk's one of my three favorite Patriots.
If you think one guy is good, then it automatically thinks that you're discrediting everybody else. I don't want anybody as my tight end other than Gronk. No one.
This is like the Manning
Brady thing. Right.
Conversation.
Right.
You know, you couldn't say Brady was good without saying Manning
isn't. But the big difference is they're not. At least Brady and Manning, their careers kind of paralleled in terms of years.
Right,
Witten's been around a long time. Gronk is just establishing himself as the potential measuring stick at the position.
I don't know how you could ignore the fact that Gronkowski has an unbelievable inherited advantage.
If Gronk continues on this pace, will he be better than Witten when all is said and done?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he has, I think he's
had a better start to his career than
Witten. And he has Brady for at least another 3 years.
So I think that's where you and Tim would find common ground.
I don't think I'd find any common ground with Tim, really.
Oh.
I don't think Andy's looking for common ground.
No, not really.
Let's see. Dave in Alexandria, Virginia. A lot of people from Virginia writing in.
It's Redskins week.
Understandably, yep. Quote, he says, "All PFW, all the news that fits that's fit to print and all the gossip that isn't."
That's right. We like to gossip.
Finally, Redskins week is here. Living in the D.C. area, I've been waiting for this game since the schedule was released. My new wife and I married on October 29th, the same day as the epic snowstorm that hit the East Coast.
Congratulations.
Are ready to have our first major disagreement as a married couple. As a Virginia girl, she was raised a Redskins fan, and I've supported her team on Sundays so long as it didn't affect the Pats. But now the gloves are coming off. As a wedding present, I'm hoping for Tom Brady to tear apart their defense for 400-plus yards with at least a pair of touchdowns for Gronk. I guess I'd also accept a pair of seats on the 50-yard line or a luxury suite, but just saying. Fred, I want this game to harken back to the 07 season where we burned the houses, pillaged the town, left only ashes behind. Here's to hoping our offense comes to play and isn't overlooking this week. Otherwise, I may be stuck cooking dinner for the next month and on the receiving end of smack talk for the remainder of the season. Let's fight the good fight and put another victory under our belt.
Cooking dinner for a month, that's a pretty good wager right there.
Yeah. So
you'll be fine, don't worry about it.
And he gives me a place to go Saturday night, but like I said, I won't be there till Sunday morning.
But Eric will be, so forward all these to Eric so he can go.
Eric's gonna have a full dance list for Saturday night. A lot of people.
He likes to mingle. He fancies himself a man of the people.
Yeah. Let's see.
So did you one day?
No, I just promoted myself.
That's what I said. You fancied yourself that way.
No, I didn't really believe it.
It was never accurate.
He believes it.
Alex, quick question. He says, one quick question is Joe Gibbs underrated or overrated?
Overrated.
I personally think overrated.
You think overrated?
I do. I think two of his three titles came in strike years. A very underreported point.
But he won with three different
quarterbacks.
Which is
kind of fluky. Well, that's what everybody talks about.
Right.
That's what
you hear
about. You
can always counterpoint it. I'm swayed by the Christian Fourier story.
We talked about that on the air. Is that okay for the year?
Well, I guess. Yeah, Christian Fourier played for Joe Gibbs and wasn't overly impressed. Wasn't overly impressed. Let's just say it that
way.
Yeah.
All right. Anthony has an amazing Brady stat that he read. Anthony's from Toronto. He says, okay, so Brady is in his 12th season. Joe Montana in his 12th season had his career high in interceptions. Troy Aikman in his 12th season had a career low in touchdowns. Joe Namath in his 12th season had a career low in passer rating. Jim Kelly and Roger Staubach in their 12 seasons weren't even in the league. Brady just keeps getting better the older he gets besides the 07 season. And this year is again ridiculous.
Well, the thing I find interesting is you started with Joe Montana had his career high for interceptions. Brady was, as he usually does, he's going to end up around 14.
Still could get
he
it.
He was on pace for 20. He had 10 in 8 games and now hasn't thrown one since.
I agree with you.
But there's a chance he could end up with his career high in interceptions, right?
Yeah, and I also think, you know, it's very easy to say he's playing better than ever, except for 07, and, except for last year.
Right.
So this is not the best year of Brady's career.
Now, comparing him to guys that were out of the league or career lows.
Sure, and I also think it's a different game.
Apparently we have breaking news in Virginia Tech. Once again, a police officer has been shot.
Oh, God.
And a second potential victim is reported at the cage lot shot. So they're telling people to stay indoors.
And what a gunman on the loose.
Yeah.
Why is it Virginia Tech?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's a copycat, obviously, but, you know.
What the hell is going on? Yeah. In all seriousness, this is ridiculous.
It is.
It's like animals.
People are nuts.
People are nuts.
They are. I mean, what's get help. You know?
Well, but you're already nuts.
I don't think
it's easy.
Yeah, when you're nuts, you don't necessarily know you're nuts.
Right. Somebody else needs to get you help.
It's a PFW.
That's what
progress.
We need to. That's what needs to be done. It's not the people that need help. It's we need to be made more aware as normal people
who
what to look
help.
For right. And say that guy might need a little more looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
A little bit more awareness.
Like Eric, we see the things Eric does, and we should probably know when to report him.
Wasn't that supposedly the issue with the original gunman at Virginia Tech that he had been looked at, and someone thought, like some professor or something, thought there was something missing,
I think in this case, his parents completely just ignored the fact that he was in his basement doing all kinds of nutty stuff, I think.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm confusing a couple of different stories.
I think so. I might be too, you know. Maybe it's a Law and Order episode. I don't know. But that's ripped from the headlines.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, Law and Order episodes.
Right. Like when they had the number 12 quarterback who was gay.
Oh. Aaron Rodgers is not gay.
Gah. My son informed everybody yesterday that if you're gah, that's when one guy is in love with another man. He actually said has sex with another man.
And there's
man.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's what Paul's wife said.
But gah, not gay.
That's the
gah.
Funny thing.
That the funny part was gah. Now, I don't know where he came up with this. He said one of his friends at school told him.
It's almost like they know they're going to get in trouble if they say gay, so they say gah.
So
they come up with their own little way.
So my wife, God bless her, is able to completely compose herself and explain how there's nothing wrong with that and that some people, everybody in this world is different and everybody has their own things that they do. Handles it ridiculously well and responsibly. Gets up from the kitchen table, walks into the bathroom where I happen to be getting ready for work, put a towel on her face, and started laughing hysterically for 10 minutes.
Brooklyn Matt.
That's a good, speaking that's a good of picture guy. You got going over there.
First of all, Kevin couldn't get through the door with a few bottles of soda because he's such a freaking lummox.
Wow. I agree.
Secondly,
finally, something that can bring Brooklyn and I together.
Secondly, hey, Andy, you've inadvertently killed my grandma. Grandmama, he calls her. Remember how I told you I was a direct descendant of the Pilgrims?
Yes.
Remember how I told you I was incensed by your replacing pumpkin pie with your tacky lemon meringue?
Yes.
Well, word of this filtered up to the 102-year-old matriarch of the New England Pilgrim side of my family. My frail grandma in the nursing home was so repulsed by hearing that some fool would actually have the gall to step all over such an honored tradition that a few days later, she refused to eat or take liquids.
Oh.
Andy, seeing that my 102 pilgrim grandma was already holding out to enjoy one last Thanksgiving in her old age, I'm convinced that your serving lemon meringue pie was the final nail in the coffin that pushed her over the edge.
That's not funny.
Well, fellas, on
Heart attack would have been funny there if she just dropped dead, but not refusing to eat.
Well, fellas,
I don't really find a lot of humor in death.
On Monday, I'll be up in Attleboro for the funeral. If you listen very closely, you'll probably be able to hear me cursing Andy at her open gravesite as the coffin is lowered. Good job, Cheesy. You're my arch frenemy.
Well, you going to meet up with Eric? Because I know you guys got something going on. Maybe you could rendezvous at the Renaissance.
Rendezvous.
So, I mean, now you question a lot of what Brooklyn Matt says. If a 102-year-old woman died recently in Attleboro, don't you think it would be in the papers?
No, I'm sure he exists, and he probably has a grandmother. I don't know that she's directly descended from the Pilgrims. I don't know that he dates supermodels. I don't know that he's a record person.
At least we can verify some of the story.
Well, he exists. I believe he exists. Somebody has to type the email.
Okay, no, but what about the 102-year-old grandma part?
That's fine. My 99-year-old grandmother died. What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, you forgot when Andy wasn't here.
You accused me of ditching work.
I had visions of that on Tuesday. That's why I sent that email on Tuesday morning. I figured for sure I was going to get Paul.
Paul, Jim and Walpole, Brady was quoted as saying he was bummed when Jabbar Gaffney went to the Broncos and was again bummed when he went to the Redskins.
Bummed. He finds bummed funny.
When did he go to the Redskins? This offseason? So why did they not bring him back? These things anger me.
He was in the Redskins last year, wasn't he? He just go this year? He originally went to Denver, correct?
Right.
McDaniels signed him. Was this his first year in Washington?
Yeah, because McDaniels was there the start of last year.
Oh, yeah. No, McDaniels, I thought that
he signed him to a multi-year deal, so okay. I don't think Josh would have cut him. So, okay. Yeah, this year.
Okay.
We'd ask Kevin to look it up, but he's fiddling with the TV. What's going on with the TV, Kevin? Is something wrong with DirecTV?
I was trying to get you the news so you could watch
it. Oh, I don't want to. I'll be distracted.
No, you won't, because there won't be any blonde with big boobs on the news.
Well,
actually, Fox News. Yes, there will be.
I miss her. Girl. Megan. Megan Kelly.
Another Anthony. Oh, no, this is the same Anthony from Toronto. We'll skip that. Matt writes in, let's see, Brady versus Rodgers. This is Matt in Texas. Put Brady on the Green Bay team and Rodgers on the Patriots. Give me the records, and do you think the stats would be similar? I do. I think both could run either guy's offense.
You have to operate under the assumption that both switch teams and are at that same level of comfort with their respective teams.
Right, right.
Because you can't say, oh, Rodgers wouldn't be able to run the Patriots system. No, I'm under the assumption that he's been in this system and can run it.
No, but what?
I think he'd be fine.
Addition,
and I think Brady'd be fine in Green Bay.
What does Rodgers' mobility bring to either scheme? That's the question I would have.
And
Brady's lack thereof.
I don't know how much you can quantify what
that
gives.
Would the Patriots be better because Rodgers can run? Would the Packers be worse because Brady cannot?
I don't think so.
Wow, dead air.
I think Rodgers is a little bit better because he can move.
Right.
I think that's one thing that separates them, yeah. But I don't necessarily think that Green Bay's offense would suffer if Brady couldn't move in that offense.
No, I don't. But, I mean, Rodgers has, 250, 300 yards rushing, a couple touchdowns.
Hey, Fred and I watched a lot of the second half. He made several big plays with his feet in
that
game.
So I just wonder, what's the value in that?
There is value in it.
And would the Patriots be significantly better with him doing that here?
Look, if it's another thing defenses have to worry about.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Carl writes in, first off, Tim, I'm sorry, but saying Gronk is better than Witten is like saying that Jason Pierre-Paul is better than OC or Justin Tuck just because he's having a monster season. Sorry, but when Gronk puts up consistent numbers over time, then yes, he may be better than Witten, but right now Witten is the best. Second, to your proposal on Tuesday about the two wide receivers, no, neither of them are worth the money they're going to ask for. Deshaun reeks of another Haynesworth all over again, and I'd rather pay Welker over Vincent Jackson. Why? Because Brady trusts him, and he knows the offense, and he's a better receiver. He doesn't juggle passes like Vincent does on Monday night.
Well, the flaw, too, Jackson signed a long-term deal, didn't he?
I thought he did, but did he only
franchised
sign
and then he signed
right.
a deal.
I thought he signed long term.
He
signed up.
I don't know. Vincent Jackson and Welker are two, like Andy always says, it's really calling them both wide receivers doesn't really. They don't even play the same position. So,
Jeff,
it's a tough comparison.
Carl goes on to say, Jeff in Vegas, I like your content when it relates to the Patriots in the lines. Stick to that, Brooklyn Matt. He's going down the line here, right?
I it might not be appropriate.
Oh, sorry.
Brooklyn Matt, as somebody studying to become a psychiatrist, your, quote, life story is a wonderful story for a psychoanalyst.
Nice.
You seem to have formed a huge delusion stemming from some unfulfilled childhood fantasies. Cue Andy comment about missing Eric in New York.
Or Sandusky.
Anthony in Naples. Anthony in Naples, relax. Actually, no, wait. I love your reactionary rants. They are definitely the highlight of the show.
I love Anthony's
comments. I'm anxious to see if we can get another one of those out of Al, Big Al, this week.
I don't think so.
That was awesome.
I mean, he's been calling for years and years, and this is the first thing that's done it.
36 seconds!
That was pure. I think
right.
It was,
oh, that was
yeah,
awesome.
That was nothing phony about that.
And you can tell he's the type of person who probably was a little embarrassed. That's not what I usually do, and he'll try not to do it in the future. So I think that was a one-time or rare event.
Yeah, but I often get embarrassed after the fact, and I still do it every
show.
Yeah,
but that's different. I mean, I'm sure Ocho's embarrassed after his drops, but that doesn't stop the drops.
Fair point.
Did you see the uproar he created this morning?
No.
Because he tweeted something to the effect of, sometimes you need to fail and drop all the way down to the ground before you realize to get a close enough look that the path you're on is the wrong one or something. And everybody was, oh, he's leaving. Oh, I guess they started talking about it on the radio and blah, 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 blah. And then he joked, it must be a slow news day if my tweets are the news.
I don't find his, well, maybe it's just in season, but I don't find his tweets all that entertaining.
Once in a while, there's some good ones.
I only find the ones when he's going back and forth with Evelyn. I find those very entertaining. She's, like, withholding sex. He's calling her fat. It's like a little inner view of their little relationship.
Once in a while, he comes up with a good one. But most of the ones, like, yeah.
And I like his Prius jokes usually make me laugh and stuff.
Nathan from Southern Cal, what are your thoughts on winning out? I have a bad feeling that we might lose one of the next two games. Washington is a possibility because Shanahan always seems to match up well with
Shanahan.
Us, and they have a decent
pass
rush.
I usually call him Tannehan, but
Shanahan
works too.
They have a decent pass rush. It also seems like at least the media is looking past Washington to Denver, and that always bites
Andy
us
is.
In the end.
No, I'm not.
You're looking right past Washington.
And I'm looking past Denver too.
I didn't say anything about Denver. I just said you're looking past Washington.
I think they're going to blow both of them out.
Denver could be a tough game because we always seem to play poorly there, and Tebow's poor accuracy might not be as much as an issue with our poor secondary. Speaking of which is worse, Tebow's accuracy or our secondary? oh, come on.
We're going to find out.
Wait, oh, come on which side?
He's got bad accuracy, terrible accuracy right now.
So our secondary is better than
yes.
his. Okay.
So
yes.
And I said, we'll find out. Because if he all of a sudden goes out there and goes, you know, 24 for 30, then you'll know.
Matab.
And I'll be saying, come on, he did it against the Patriots. Everybody does that against the Patriots.
Matab from
tell you what it says
the UK
about the secondary.
Writing in. He says, hey, guys, and bonjour, word of the day, Eric.
He's not here, no.
Got a quick hypothetical Eric. For you. Say at the end of the season the Colts decide to trade Manning to the Jets, for example, for a first-rounder and a couple mid-level picks. The Colts then draft Andrew Luck. Then, sometime between the end of the season and training camp, Manning decides to retire. He fills out his papers to the league and is officially done. Then the Colts pick up Manning, who is a free agent, as their quarterback for the next couple of years, whilst Luck learns behind him. With this, the Colts get the best of both worlds, a first-rounder for Manning, whilst technically still keeping Manning as their quarterback for the next few years. Could you see Polian planning this sort of thing to get what he wants, or would it just not work?
It would not work because the Jets would retain his rights.
Right. You can't just – you know, either – a lot of teams would have signed Barry Sanders out of retirement, but they couldn't. The Lions still had his rights, and he refused to play for the Lions.
The more likely scenario is the Jets try to annul the trade or whatever there. But
right.
They probably couldn't do that either.
508-298.
They might be able to.
Good news for you, Fred.
Yeah.
Spike's returned to practice today.
Oh, all right. That's good.
He was
Is that a walkthrough,
a
though?
Yesterday. Yeah, that's true. He was tweeting a lot yesterday about, wouldn't you like people asking, are you close? Are you ready? Wouldn't you like to know? I could tell you, but I can't tell you right now. And all these little jerk around tweets.
Right.
That's a good point that you just made, Frank, because they were in full pads yesterday, so they're not today.
It could be a walkthrough.
But I don't
he
think
was at the walkthrough.
It wouldn't be,
last week.
It wouldn't be a walkthrough, but maybe something that he wouldn't have been part of.
Jog through.
Right.
The tweets are saying that he has a light brace or sleeve on his right knee, and that's it.
Okay.
Was it a brace or a sleeve?
That's it? What else did they expect to have him on? You know, a complete leg immobilizer?
Perhaps.
Let's go to the phones.
He's not coming off of ACL surgery.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey.
I'm afraid I got to do some listener on listener crime here.
Oh, I love it.
Not personal, though. It's just the gentleman from Sweden who was saying that we should all back off and, you know, Brady's the greatest and all this stuff.
But yeah.
I want to win a Super Bowl. I want the Patriots to win a Super Bowl. And everybody knows that a good team in the playoffs, there's a chance the offense can be shut down.
Yep.
So for him to just say that kind of crap, that, well, believe in Brady and all the rest of that stuff and we're going to be fine, I want to be realistic. You know what I mean? It just ticks me off that, you know, there's Homer. I'm a Homer. I love the Patriots, but, you know, let's look at it realistically that unless the defense improves, we're not going to win a Super Bowl. I don't know. It just sort of ticked me off that he's got these blinders on or rose-colored glasses or whatever else you want to call it.
Yeah, no, I look at it the same way you do, but there's certainly a segment of fans who are just totally positive, and Bill we trust, and Brady we trust. I mean, there's different ways to look at things. It's what we always talk about. You know, Paul says a good fan is not the one that shows up year after year and renews their season tickets while the team doesn't spend money and the team sucks. A good fan is one that holds the team over the fire and says, I want to win. I'll support you when you win, but you better be putting the effort in to win.
Yeah, that's basically where it just ticked me off that, you know, he's giving us, the rest of us, shit about this. And it's,
Steve.
Sorry I said that.
Yeah.
Two quick questions. One, Doran Dickinson.
Yeah.
Dickerson. I seem to remember back a couple years ago that the scouting report on him was he's a tweener, tight end, wide receiver type, and he's got some explosiveness and some athletic ability. So I think it's a good pickup that they managed to grab him as a backup for Hernandez.
I think
Hernandez has a chance to be hurt a lot.
I may be wrong here, but I think you're confusing him with the kid out of Oregon.
Ed Dickson,
who's a wide receiver type tight end.
He's a starting tight end for
right.
the Ravens.
I think you may be confusing him.
Not confusing, no.
Okay.
Dickerson's like an H-back type of player. Like, he's big.
He has played wide receiver and tight end at Pitt. He did.
Yeah, but maybe.
Well, to me, like, if there's anybody that fits can back up Hernandez, would be this guy, because just from body type.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know a ton about him. I haven't seen him play. I don't.
I seem to remember he had some explosiveness and he had some athletic ability, but he also was a bit of an underachiever.
Well, I'll tell you, just from the view, he looks a little thicker than Hernandez.
He was on the view?
No, just from looking at him in the locker room. He looks a little stockier, a little thicker.
Oh. All right, Steve, anyways. Thanks for the call. Call.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah, what?
I'm just reading an item on Pro Football Talk. The NFL evidently is going to conduct 8 regional combines. Did you see this? Anything about this? They're going to still have...
No, I'm not going all 8, and
he's going
to some of them.
No.
We're still going to Indy. These are just for...
Oh, like, you already Jags. Saw this. Yeah. This is... Indy is still the main combine. This is from Ray Anderson. The NFL Regional Combine Program provides players who may not have had the chance before the opportunity to work out for NFL personnel executives. It allows all 32 clubs a chance to further evaluate players. They are going to be held in Los Angeles, Baltimore, Tampa, New York, New Jersey, Chicago, Atlanta, and Cleveland. And they're going to have it's going to conclude with a super regional combine in Detroit in late March. Now, players eligible for the 2012 NFL draft but not attending the combine in Indy
will be eligible to attend these super regionals.
Right.
So these are more like pro days.
It's like along with players having college regional experience who want to gauge their pro potential, and players with some pro experience but who have been out of the game, quote, for a period of time.
Oh, so pros will be there too.
Yeah. Right. Now,
who's this memo from?
Ray Anderson.
Usually ignore those.
Just the part about the super regionals was from Ray Anderson. Oh. This is Florio talking after that. But Florio's summation is it seems like a series of glorified tryouts.
Yeah.
And most draft eligible players who aren't invited to the scouting combine will surely prefer to work out at their pro day. Then again, the regional combines likely will be attended by more scouts, giving the player a broader audience, and the possibility of securing a spot in a super regional combine would be an enticement to attend.
Oh, so the super regional would be an invite. From these, you get invited to the other one.
So this is like some of those people like from various schools that go to BC might not go to BC's pro day. They may go to this now instead.
Yeah.
You know, the kid from Tufts a couple of years ago, or the kid from UNH.
So
sure.
He says it's kind of like American Idol.
Yeah.
And he thinks, well, I'll give NFL Network another thing to.
Sure, that's
part of it. NFL Network, there's probably a sponsor like Under Armour involved.
Who gives a rat's ass? I mean, because you're literally
talking about money.
There's 300 people at the combine. So already you have 50 people that won't be drafted at the combine. And now you're going to go to watch all these?
Yeah, but now think about it this way. How many people every year contribute in some way to a team that didn't get drafted?
No, I know. I generally assume that's the 50 people at the combine.
Players that don't get drafted
or
don't necessarily
go to the combine.
Very few.
Really?
Very few. There's not a lot of guys that don't go to the combine.
I mean, there's some, yes.
There are a handful, but not a lot.
But, Fred,
there's a ton of guys that don't get drafted that are at the combine.
But if they're getting that handful without these regional, imagine maybe they could get even more with them.
No, I'm talking about from the fan perspective. Who gives a rat's ass? You're going to watch New York, New Jersey regional combine on the NFL Network where you're seeing prospect number 450 through 550?
Imagine the draft Knicks. They're going to love this, though. It's all these names that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. I'm just telling you,
Did you see Bobby Sherman?
I don't think they'll love it at all because I think they're already over their heads once you get beyond the second round. Yeah. I don't think they're going to like
it. That won't stop Mayock from saying he watched 30 hours of tape on the guy.
The only time I'd watch it is if, like I said, the Tufts. So I'll watch the Tufts kid if he's going to be on some New York regional network.
Eric's here. Let's quickly get to Eric.
Spikes was back at practice.
Pow.
In uniform,
Pow.
Fred.
SMH.
Yes, we heard.
Big news. That was pretty much it.
That's it.
Yeah, Vollmer was absent. Ridley is still on his
way
back.
Did Fletcher have a hard plastic cast over his gloved hand?
No.
He had nothing over his hand?
Didn't see that, no.
Didn't see it, or he didn't have it?
Didn't see that.
I was going to say.
Were you looking for
no,
that?
Or did you
no,
not
because
see it?
we've already established that Fletcher's back practicing and still has the cast, so that's old news.
Have a cast.
So he had a cast.
He had a cast the other day when he came back to practice.
I'm talking about today.
Holy Christ.
Well, Andy
don't know
tweeted
about
out,
today.
Andy
Why does that matter?
Were you
because
there?
Andy tweeted
yes.
out that he saw him
he
in the locker
no
room with
in
nothing
the locker
on.
Room and he was putting his gloves on and he looked fine, and I thought he was going out without anything, but then Matt LaPan says that he went out with his cast.
Yesterday. Right?
Yeah,
you said yesterday, right, Matt?
So we're not
today.
So this is old news.
No, it's not
no,
old news.
Today is
what?
New
what,
news.
What
it's
he practiced
news.
In today is new news.
Holy God.
I did not say cast, first off.
What?
I did not
You said
cast.
He had some hard
right.
protective.
A hard plastic protective.
It's like a protection. It went over like the.
Over his thumb.
Right, right.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
So did he
so
have
I
that
wanted
on
to know
today,
if he still
Eric.
Had that on today.
Don't know.
Why?
Because nobody gives a rat's ass.
Oh my God.
He's so defensive.
He's unbelievable. If he had saw it, he'd be coming here breathless.
And he'd be mad at us for not going to him quicker.
Right.
You would. Wipe that smirk off your face, you'd be mad.
He's going to talk to you later when you have one of your little drink breaks.
Don't be jealous just because you have no friends.
So the lesson here is less words with friends, more paying attention at practice. All right.
I don't know how he gets me once a day.
Quickly, one more call. Jamie in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, haven't heard from Jamie in a while.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, haven't
you
heard
too,
from you.
Jamie.
What's up?
Yeah, I heard, now, Andy, can you confirm this? I heard Alec Baldwin was kicked off a flight out of L.A. because he was playing Words with Friends with you.
No, it was with Eric. He would kill me because he's the god of Words with Friends.
I see. All right, well,
And they shot a missile.
I just want to comment on this week. I thought it was a great week. and I enjoyed Al, you know, who I really think is Phil Sims, you know, undercover. I mean, he has like the same voice, you know, tone and meter, so to speak. But I enjoyed listening to him, and he was off his rocker, man. He was out of his mind. It was just very compelling radio. I think Paul was in awe too, if you know, I can recall correctly. You know, it was
couldn't believe it. I kept thinking I had things to say, but I stopped because I didn't want to interrupt the rant.
Well, I'm going to go the other way and kind of put things in perspective. I think it's legitimate. You know, I think there is some Tom Brady fan service going on to keep him content and what have you. But, you know, it is what it is to an extent. And, you know, I'm going to look at this season as, you know, a trip to Vegas. You know, I think in times past where it's really hurt, we've had expectations. And it's good to have expectations and see those delivered upon, but this year there's just too many, you know, unknown certainties. The defense is a patchwork mess, and you know, we've got the wild card with Brady in the offense, and you know, all they need is three real good games. You know, they get a bye, and they, you know, they play their three best games. You know, they got as good a shot as anyone. You know, they're in the top three or four teams that could topple Green Bay. And, you know, we just got to go into this postseason, you know, hoping for the best and, you know, not expecting anything. So it's a trip to Vegas, and we got as good a shot as anyone else in there at the odds table.
Absolutely. I agree. They are one of the top teams that
Thanks,
topple
Jamie.
Green Bay, because you're going to have to score a lot of points. And they could score points. The Saints, we know, can score points. You're not beating Green Bay, I don't think, in a dogfight. It'll come down some, but you're going to have to score high 20s to beat them at least.
Yep. All right, let's not give that out because we're done with the emails and the phone calls. But we
best in the business right
it
there.
It is Thursday, and it's time to go around the NFL. So, Paul, why don't you let us know what happened last week?
Hold, please. I'm unprepared.
Oh, you're unprepared.
So you cared about Fletcher's little cast, but you didn't ask anything about Welker's?
Welker had a cast?
Yeah, I said that earlier in the show. Thanks for listening.
I didn't hear it either.
Oh, sorry. Maybe I thought it in my head.
I don't think you said it.
My apologies, Fred.
What does Welker have a cast on?
I am getting old. I just read someone on Twitter said that
he was spotted
he had
last night at a charity event.
Soft cast on his wrist.
On his right hand. And again today in the locker room.
We're done.
He said, you know, I talk on Fridays. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. So
we're done. I thought Branch was limping.
But he wasn't listed on the injury report with a wrist. Or a hand or anything, so we'll see if that changes today.
He can't do the Frisco call either.
Maybe that's how he got hurt. Who knows? Huh?
So my bad. I must have thought.
Yeah.
But I did read it on Twitter and must have never gotten around to it. Last week, a very consistent week for Team PFW. Andy, Eric, and Fred all went 11-5. I went 10-6. Andy, Eric, and Fred all went 9-7 with the spread. I went 8-8. So, three-way tie with me a game behind in both. Seizing standings. I maintain the lead overall, 127-65. Fred and Eric, 126-66. Andy, 121-71. With the spread, Eric maintains his lead, 93-93-6. Is that another one of those things that weren't supposed to have heard?
I turned my mic off.
It doesn't matter. You sound like a rhinoceros in there.
Fred, 92-94-6, Paul, 90-96-6, Andy, 89-97-6.
Oh, Andy coming.
Jeez. Again, TMI.
As Andy would say,
I'm adding syrup to the waffle, baby.
Oh, my God. There you go.
All right, so let's start with this week's
game. You missed it, Eric.
There's some good games this week.
Hi-ho, going to need some help.
Less dogs than have been happening lately.
Some
decent matchup.
Fewer.
Oh, okay.
We got.
I thought he meant dogs as an underdog.
He just runs out of gas
dog
in his own
games.
Sentences.
I know what he means.
He just runs out of gas.
Less talk, more rock.
Notice Eric's feeling a little bit, you know.
Chipper?
Yeah.
You slap him around
a
little.
Not about chipper, but.
He's feeling his oats a little
bit.
Yeah,
a little
coming
bit.
Into his own.
Oh, yeah. Something's
well,
going
he's
on.
Been coming into his own
and
for years.
And it's ever since this Philadelphia
Hand.
Trip. It's ever since this Philadelphia
See,
trip.
That's where you just can't leave it alone.
Did you get your pipes cleaned in Philly?
No.
Huh?
Oh, no. By no. The
no.
listener?
No.
She
no.
cleaned your pipes
no.
for you?
Something's going on that's no. giving
strapped
him a little.
Strapped one on and took care of you.
A little confidence.
No.
Could be that. Just, you know, being around a girl and, you know, her actually listening to him and not going, ew.
Okay. Okay.
Well, thank you, Robert.
All right, let's start tonight.
But the sound drop says Robert.
Yeah.
Tonight, Cleveland travels to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh by 14.
Ooh. Andy.
I'll take Pittsburgh because, you know, I have a Pittsburgh jersey, plus they're higher in the Wilson-Hart Power Index. And it's Wilson-Hart Power Index because the person named Wilson's the one who created the logo.
And by the way, also you don't own it. I saw you tweeting that you own it.
Who owns Mendenhall it?
Anything
is
that
ridiculous.
Happens under this roof, I own.
You don't even know what it is, so how can you own it? Huh? You don't know what it is.
Wilson Hart also.
I'll see you in court.
You also sounds better.
No, I didn't. Yeah. You don't know the whole thing.
You already signed away your
Hart
life.
Wilson is too clunky. Wilson Hart flows better.
Wilson Hart?
Plus, she created the logo. Well, I mean, he or she.
Paul, I'm going with the Steelers, but give me those points for Cleveland.
You took Pittsburgh both ways, Andy?
What was the spread?
14.
Pay attention. Oh, yeah, easy.
Really?
Real McCoy is going to get beat to poop.
Yes, I will. I will lay the points as well. I will take Pittsburgh.
I'm with Eric. I'll take Pittsburgh, but I'm going to take those points. Sunday at 1, Indy at Baltimore.
Baltimore by 16.5.
The Dan Orlovsky era has started.
16.5?
I will take Baltimore to win and cover. They won't collapse late like the Patriots did. The Colts suck.
I will take, obviously, the Ravens to win.
Obviously, Fred Kurtz.
But I'll take the points again. I don't have enough faith in Baltimore yet to play better
Baltimore
than their competition.
Yeah, even though they play down to their competition, they won't.
Yeah, they don't usually do that at home, so I will lay the points.
Homie.
I'm going to do the same as Eric again. I'm going to take Baltimore to win, but not cover.
That's kind of guh.
Sunday at 1.
Good? Yes, it is. No.
No.
Will Perillo has
Will
a Perillo
term. Says that if you're gah, that's when two men like each other and have sex. Gah. That's very gah.
How does he know what sex is?
I don't know. This is what
does
the whole
he?
Concern was.
Yeah, that flew over my head the first time. Does he know what men having sex is?
I think that he thinks that sex is kissing. That's what I
Eric's
think.
That's funny.
Eric's like it isn't?
Because middle school girls think blowjobs isn't sex.
That's correct. It's amazing.
This whole world is upside down. Your president doesn't know what sex is. Your five-year-olds.
Atlanta at Carolina. Atlanta, one of the big disappointments of the year, I'm sure, for especially Atlanta fans.
What's this
fans.
Game, Atlanta at Carolina?
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah. It was funny.
It was, unintentionally so. But
what are you talking about, unintentionally?
I'm telling you, most of your sentences, you don't know where they're going when you start them.
I intentionally
them.
Said
it's
it.
It's kind of like when we do our little stand-ups on TV. Atlanta by 2.5 on the road.
Against who?
Carolina.
Oh, Atlanta. These are all easy picks this week. I thought you said there weren't any dogs.
You really think that's an easy pick?
Yeah.
The way Atlanta's been playing?
I think Atlanta is going to have a big game.
See, I thought they'd win last week and they lost.
Oh, I did
too. I'll take the Falcons both ways, hi-ho.
But
when you I will take the Falcons both ways as well.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
Really? The way they've been playing lately?
Yeah. But it's not an easy pick. I had to think about it.
Okay. Not for very long.
I've been thinking about it since this morning when I looked at the games.
You prep for this and this is still what we end up with?
I started,
wait a minute.
Wait
you
a
have,
minute. No,
you have
wait
no
a minute.
Analysis.
You don't listen. You don't listen. I started this out by saying there's some really good matchups. How would I know that if I hadn't seen the games?
I assume most
Idiot.
Of the stuff you say is just BS that flows out of your mouth.
Idiot.
You Flomax. Diarrhea of the mouth.
It obviously ends up
Idiot.
In your head
Idiot.
By the size of it.
I love when he cracks me.
Houston at we rarely fight during picks. Houston at Cincinnati.
We should more often.
I think we should.
It would make the segment a lot better.
Cincinnati by 3
over the number
really?
1 overall ranked Houston Texans in the Wilson,
the Wilson
Hart
throw
Power.
It to our ranking.
I said
I am. You know, I've been moving up these rankings.
He used that on TV last week.
Yeah,
really.
Wilson and almost could not continue the segment because he was laughing so hard at his own joke.
That was
couldn't
good,
compose himself.
That was good. I'll
and then I threw a sarcastic. You know, undefeated doesn't take you as far as it used to.
I'm just saying.
No,
backup quarterback.
Actually, on TV, I said after he explained how Pittsburgh is like number 12 and the Saints are like at the bottom of the ranking.
No, they're not.
I looked at Paul and I said
they're 14.
It's an interesting.
Pittsburgh
index.
Is 10
and
New Orleans
is
12. And I would just like to point out
two of the three best teams.
If
in football,
this team lost its quarterback, would it fare as well as the Houston Texans?
Yes.
Have? You're out of your flipping mind. Flipping.
I'll okay. take those Texans, Paul.
Who'd you take?
Okay.
All right. Did you? Who did you take?
To win and cover.
the number one overall team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Okay. I will be rooting for your Wilson-Hart Power Index, but I will take Cincinnati.
Can you imagine, just imagine if you will, if they somehow went on to win the Super Bowl, you guys would never hear the end of it.
Yeah, I know.
And
literally.
We shouldn't. No. And you know what? With all the guff that you've gotten, you
know how stubborn I am.
You would have every right to gloat if they did.
I'm going to gloat either way.
Yeah,
that's
even though you had nothing to do with it. It was given to you by somebody else.
They wanted to give it to me.
Because what's going to happen is no matter how it unfolds, he's going to say, if Matt Schaub didn't get hurt.
That's true.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well.
Take away this team's best quarterback and best defender. Wait, I don't know how
well,
you pick.
Paul, you took
Paul
Cincinnati?
Took Cincy.
Yes, I took Cincinnati.
He likes the red rifle. Red rifle, come over. Red rifle.
Well, I think they might be in the free fall. But
so you picked them. Good call.
Their defense against the third-string quarterback will keep the score down.
That's
it's at Cincinnati.
Those Samoans Cincinnati. Will smell blood in the water. They'll be taking his leg bone out and putting it through their nose like they did.
Or Tongans.
Jeez. Minnesota at Detroit. Minnesota at Detroit.
Detroit by 8.
Detroit.
The Detroit Lions I will take. Minnesota's way down the bottom of the rankings. One of the four teams that's been eliminated from the postseason. Do you know the four?
Well, we know.
Indianapolis.
Right. I was asking Fred, Mr. I do show prep in the morning.
Well, they're all at the bottom of the
I do show prep?
Him.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, what do you got? Who are the teams? Hot shot, show prep.
Washington.
Washington?
No.
No, they're not? Oh, okay. Well, I know that the Colts are.
Yeah, that's one.
You said that already.
Minnesota is 2.
Yeah.
Let me see. At the bottom, Jacksonville is 3.
Yep.
They are the most recent to be eliminated.
Think of Andy's favorite quarterback. Yep.
And then
think of a team in the middle of the country.
With Andy's favorite quarterback.
Who lost their slugger.
With Andy's favorite
in
quarterback.
In baseball.
Today, his favorite quarterback.
Today, a baseball player who left that city.
Your favorite former head coach of
Anthony
the New England.
Anthony Pujols.
The team is what we're looking for.
Anthony. It's the Rams. Thank you.
And it's Albert.
Anthony.
What do you got?
Who is
Andrew Minnesota at Detroit by 8. Laying the 8?
Yeah, of course. They'll bully them.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, I'll take the Lions, and I'll lay the points.
I'll take the Lions as well, only because Minnesota's so bad. But I think Detroit is not going to do anything this year. They're not going to. I thought they were going to be a contender.
Oh, is this another one of the year where you put all your eggs in that basket?
When he gets mad, when they start losing,
like when
he gets
picked
mad.
Well, yeah, the Super Bowl last year.
I overestimated Schwartzy. He lost control of this team.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Or he's got full control of it, and this is how he controls a team.
Yeah, some would argue this is what he likes.
Right.
Tampa Bay at Jacksonville. Tampa Bay at Jacksonville. 1 o'clock game.
There's another non-dog.
Pick them.
Well, they're not all good games.
Pick them.
Tampa Bay at Jacksonville. There's a 3. I got to take Jacksonville. They're higher enough in the rankings, even though they're both down the bottom. I'll take Jacksonville.
Yeah, I like the fight.
Oh! Taylor Price. They're my new favorite team.
I like the fight that the Jaguars have been putting up for the most part. Last week notwithstanding, exactly.
Well, they fought early. It was close early.
Yeah.
They scored. They had that big play from Jones-Drew had a long run, and they were trying.
They were just
not very good.
No.
And they fired all these coaches.
Right. So,
yeah, but not even just the head coach. They fired a couple position coaches. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, there is.
They got all those mustache in the stands with the Shaka Khan.
I'll take the Jags.
It's rare when I get the look from three people.
What was the number again?
Pick them.
Oh, yeah.
I will take the Jags.
Really? I'm going to take Tampa Bay in this game.
Really? You like Josh Johnson, huh?
Philadelphia.
Remember what he used to do to Brandon Merriweather?
Philadelphia at Miami.
Backup quarterback.
Sunday at 1. Philadelphia at Miami.
Miami by 3.
Think about the beginning of the season.
Think about it, if you will.
If Miami being favored over Philly, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I have to take Miami because they are 18th ranked and Philly is 27th ranked behind the Jaguars. Wow. $200 million just doesn't go as far as it used to.
Not playing good team football.
I have to take Miami because the Eagles have given up on this season and the Dolphins are still trying.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
I will take Miami for the exact reason that Eric just said.
Me
What's
going
to happen to DeSean Jackson?
Sunday at 1. A lot of Sunday at 1 games. Kansas City at the Jets.
Not going to be in Philly next year.
Now, if the Jets lose and the Patriots win, the Patriots sew up the AFC East.
That is correct. Jets by 10.
Over who?
The Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Jets are 9. I got to find Kansas.
I'll take the Jets to win. They're back in the top 10. They're winning, and Tom Moore has turned things around for them.
Yep. So, I hate to say it, Pats fans, but your team won't be clinching the playoffs this week because the Jets are going to win, and they're going to cover.
I am going to take the Jets to win, but I will take the points. Kansas City's defense has played well lately, and I'll take the 10.
They still have Tyler Palco playing.
Right? That's correct, but I'll take the 10.
That's why I'm going with this.
I'm
going
to do what Paul did.
You did show prep.
Jets win, but they don't cover. New Orleans at Tennessee, Sunday at 1. New Orleans
by 3.5.
New Orleans by 3.5. Giving Tennessee some credit there for their defense.
I am New Orleans at Tennessee.
Yeah. I think it's actually against New Orleans on the road more than anything else. They've been terrible on the road.
12-11 matchup. I got to go with the higher team at home. I go with the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, wow. There's a loss for Andy because the Saints are going to win on the road. Maybe not huge, but by more than 3.
If I were
three
picking, I would have taken the Saints, but I can't.
I know you can't because you're hamstrung.
I am going to take the Saints as well, and I'll lay the points. I don't feel good about it.
This is my upset of the week. Tennessee wins.
Oh, so you agree with the Wilson Hart Power Index?
The one that was given to you.
That I made. I created it.
You created it.
I started creating it over a year ago. Over a year's
worth of
research.
Don't blame this nonsense on somebody else.
Went into it.
No, somebody
this
else,
is all his fault.
Somebody
good point,
else
Paul.
Gave him the algorithm.
Nobody gave me an algorithm.
That's
I created
not true.
It. I don't even know what an algorithm is.
Okay,
Brooklyn, Matt.
We're gonna skip over. We're skipping over.
He's coming to Attleboro, Eric.
Wait a minute. We're skipping over.
We're skipping
over. Brooklyn Matt's coming to Attleboro. He might want to get together. His 102-year-old grandmother died. He's blaming me.
And she's a direct descendant.
Blaming
from the
you
pilgrims.
For her dying.
She's one of the pilgrims, or descendants of the pilgrims.
Yeah.
And he claims that she found out that I liked lemon meringue pie better than pumpkin pie and hated. And he thinks that killed her. Because she went on a hunger and fluid strike, which isn't funny at all. Had she had a heart attack, okay, I see the joke. She
went on a hunger strike?
She stopped eating and drinking and died. Now she's going to be buried in Attleboro.
That's depressing.
Yeah. See, he doesn't even do that well.
What?
Brooklyn.
The price is wrong.
Like, he brings it all down. That's not funny.
All right, San Francisco at Arizona.
102 good runs.
San Francisco at
Arizona. San Francisco by 4.
This is a 4:05 game, by the way.
San Francisco
by 4.
This
is one of the early 4 o'clock games. Yeah.
The number 2 team in the Wilson Hart Power Index, the San Francisco 49ers, will get it done.
Yes, they will. Last week's tough, gritty win by the Cardinals, notwithstanding, they're going to lose big at home to the Niners.
Yeah, I like the Niners. I'm sticking with them.
Yeah, 49ers, they're on a roll. All right, Chicago at Denver.
Tebow by 3.5.
Thank God I get to go with Chicago. They are the 8th team here, you know, even though they have Caleb Haney or whatever his name is.
Caleb.
Henny.
Yeah,
he's Haney?
Not.
Haney or Henny?
Haney.
Him. Even though they got him, I'll take him.
I can't go against the Tebows until he proves me wrong.
Why aren't they the Millers?
Going with them.
Why aren't they the McGahees? Why aren't they the Goodmans?
None of those guys play quarterback.
Because none of those.
Nor
guys,
does he. He plays
your
fullback.
Your team is
fullback. He's a fullback.
No, none of those guys get credit for winning every game the way that he does.
Ridiculously so for completing 48% of his passes.
The Denver Tebows to win and cover.
Tebows.
Getting better.
Ooh, I'll take Chicago.
I think this should be a pick'em, and I'm going to take Chicago to win this game.
You said it should be a pick'em.
What are you talking about? You love Tebow. You told me
he's
the greatest thing ever.
I do love Tebow.
He's facing a backup Jag, and you're not taking
him. I do love Tebow. I love Tom Brady, but I don't always pick the Patriots.
I'm going with the big upset.
You are ridiculous.
Now,
3.5 points.
This next game, Oakland at Green Bay.
You took Chicago or Denver? You took Chicago.
I'm taking Chicago.
You took Chicago.
I'm taking Chicago.
You are a fraud.
He is. He really is.
I'm taking Chicago.
At least Eric sticks by his convictions.
This next game is 4:15, and
misguided
I was made fun of.
Maybe.
I was made fun of because I was told that there was never a 1:15 game in the NFL. On the West Coast, this is a 1:15 game. Oakland at Green Bay.
<That is cool. laughs> Oakland at Green Bay. Green Bay. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Green Bay by 11.
Green Bay by 11.
Where's this game?
In Green Bay.
I think I always
then why'd
will
you
be
say
Packer.
Oakland? Next? So who cares what Guyman
Stutz? Oh, no, the next game, San Diego's a 115 game.
Oh, my God.
In San Diego, not here.
Yeah, in San Diego.
I will take the Green Bay Packers. I think this is a good opportunity for them to try to move up the rankings with a good win here. Get out of the three slot, maybe move up a little bit. So I'll take the Pack.
Yeah, you can't go against the Pack until, like the Tebows, they prove you wrong.
Or they face one of the two teams above them in the power rankings.
No, I'm not going with that.
The only the only drama involving this game is to see how far the Packers will drop after winning it. Okay. Packers is big.
Yeah, me too. Packers. 13-0 for the Packers.
That's a good line, Paul.
All right. Buffalo at San Diego.
San Diego by 6.5.
Go
yourself, San Diego. But not
this week.
I am going to take
music ready, Kevin?
San Diego, even though they are ranked lower. It is a three-team closure matchup, so I'll take the home team.
Ever since Fitzy got that contract, the Bills have been sputtering, so you know who I'm going with.
San Diego. Notice he has
a win and cover.
Goth music.
Good, again, yeah. Yes. Good
no,
music.
No, no, no. Well, yeah, it yes. is good, but yeah. I mean, get. Yeah.
I'll take San Diego, too, but.
I mean, when two men get together.
These are two bad teams right now.
San Diego, myself. Sunday night, 8:20. Really, though, the kickoff's more like 8:30, but New York Giants at Dallas.
It's 5:30 on the West Coast, too. For
right. Me. New York Giants at Dallas.
Dallas by 3.5.
How about them Cowboys?
I have to go with the Dallas Cowboys because they are the number tied for sixth ranked team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Yeah, I'm going to go with what Jimmy Johnson said.
How about them Cowboys?
See, only that's because they're
better.
At home.
That's much. Is this your new shtick? Have you done this for a while?
Yeah.
You've had clips?
It'd be nice if you paid attention.
Another major upset, Freddie. Giants.
Me too, Paul. I'm with the Giants.
Me too. 3.5.
I'm with the Giants.
G-Man.
And Monday night, St. Louis at Seattle. St. Louis at Seattle.
Seattle by 5.5.
Ooh. I assume I'm taking Seattle.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle. Yeah, that's a
Monday
Seahawks,
night. Just
really?
Getting some great games this year.
Seattle's 17th ranked.
Yeah, Seattle is starting to show a little something, even though it's against,
hey, it's late in the season.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I'll go with the Carols to win and cover.
That's a good. I like that sound bite. Is that really a Seahawk?
It's some sort of
it's
bird.
It's a hawk.
John, we're as bad as ever today. I'll take Seattle.
Me too. Seattle and the Pete Carrolls. All right. Now let's go back to Sunday at 1.
You know, Pete, you bring up Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Seattle took a lot of crap from a lot of the experts like your boy, Michael Lombardi, at the beginning of the season when it started about how there wasn't even an NFL roster. Remember that?
Yeah.
Let's some of those comments.
That's true. One,
I mean, yep. By no means is Seattle a good team, but they don't look...
They have bounced back.
They don't look any worse than anybody else.
Yeah, he really disparaged them.
You know, they could lay claim to being king
Bill
of the
probably,
dip.
Bill Oops. Probably told them to.
We like to have fun.
Patriots by 8.
I will take the New England Patriots to win and cover. As I said earlier, I think Andre Carter is going to have a big game matched up against their backup left tackle. I think that's a huge loss for them.
Trent Williams' replacement?
It's a huge loss for them to lose their leading receiver, a guy who can make plays in the middle of the field, a weak spot for the Patriots' defense. The only things that scare me are the two defensive end pass rushers and Roy Alou. Mm-hmm. I think you'll do enough against them. And I think Rex Grossman will score more points for the Patriots than for the Redskins.
I think you're right there. Rex Grossman is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen in this game. And I think the Patriots in the final quarter
have
of the season.
You do longstanding hate of him, right?
Yeah, I do.
More than Roethlisberger?
For different reasons. Different reasons. Roethlisberger, I thought Roethlisberger was a good quarterback. I just thought he was overrated and got too much credit for Pittsburgh's success. Okay. Grossman just can't play quarterback.
Yeah, but for a while, you really had a hatred for Roethlisberger.
Right. And rightly so.
No, not rightly
yes,
so.
Rightly so.
I mean, I don't know if you
so.
Saw what he did
That's
to the Patriots.
That's more stubborn than you.
Yeah. I mean, did you miss the Patriots
so.
Game where he spread him out and went, whatever it was, 35 for 50?
Yeah, you know, he can have, any quarterback can have a good game now and then.
And Super Bowls and playoff
when
runs.
When you've got a defense like that behind you.
I mean, are you freaking out of your
Are you laying
mind?
The points or not?
I'm laying the points, yeah. I'll take the Patriots to win and cover. They're going to start to turn things around.
Just out of curiosity, do you think Grossman's worse than Tyler Palko and Dan Orlovsky? Called him the worst quarterback that you've ever seen.
I said one of.
I think
Brody Croyle. I mean, there's an endless list of guys who couldn't throw the ball 5 yards.
And the Patriots are going to see them all this year.
Yeah,
Vince Young.
Exactly.
Paul, is it Sean Lockley or a Willie Smith?
the rookie?
I think it's Locklear.
Okay, it's Sean Locklear, who Andre Carter will own.
I am going to take the Patriots. I think they win this game, and I think that it will be because Grossman will make a mistake. He's not good enough to go through a game flawlessly. But I like the points here from Washington. I think they can keep it close. I still think they have a lot of weapons on offense, and the Patriots haven't proven they can shut down an NFL passer, and I think Grossman can throw the ball. Their defense isn't good enough to keep them in it. However, the Patriots will get a lead, and I think it'll be an easy win, but it'll be less than 8 points at the end.
Despite the Patriots not paying attention to personal records in stats.
In quotes. In quotes, you say that.
Because this might be, it's going to be fairly good weather in the 40s.
Yeah, but cold and chilly.
Yeah.
Sunny.
It might be one of the last good days to pass, so the Brady will have about 500 yards through the air.
500?
Yeah, and Patriots win going away at the
end. So he's going to be a FedEx Air nominee at FedEx Field this week?
Right. About 500 yards.
Despite the fact that we don't, you know, keep track of individual stats, John Rook announced that Rob Gronkowski had set a record before he even broke the plane of the goal line on his third touchdown.
Nice.
He just knew that, though.
Just something he knew.
He's on top of those things.
I knew it. And the stat crew, stat booth next to me knew it, and they confirmed it, and that's great. And then after we said it, sure enough, they changed it.
Yep.
Right?
But I still don't think it was a lateral.
I do.
I don't.
Well, Brady didn't, and he threw it.
Exactly the point.
Right.
I think Brady didn't get deep enough. I think that's why he's a little embarrassed. I think it was his fault.
No, but I think his point is we purposely make sure that they're not, in case they're not caught,
but
they're not a fumble.
But it, well, yeah,
I watched the videotape.
It looked like it was at least... It was in
backwards.
Line with Gronkowski.
It was
not a little bit backwards.
I think those plays should be ruled passes because it was close. But
agreed.
I mean, to me, it was no different than the one that Philip Rivers
they got
had.
Four more
plus
games
he returned in San
record.
Diego last year.
And in the meantime, he created a new
unless
record.
It's an underhanded
unless
toss.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's overhanded, it's a pass.
It's a pass. Yeah.
Oh, no. If it goes backwards, it's a... I don't care if it's overhand, underhand, or whatever.
May very well
to
be.
Me, that
they
was close enough that it should be considered a
forward pass. Yeah. I agree.
It's like when the quarterback comes up to the line of scrimmage, he has to be all the way over the line of scrimmage to me.
Right.
That's the rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it should have to be all the way behind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitively behind where you're throwing the ball from to be considered a lateral in that play.
Plus,
I think.
Paul, you failed to realize that I was going for the cheap artificial cheer inside the stadium on that, too. So.
Oh,
cheap pop. Good to be back in Foxborough! All right, John, what do you got coming up?
We'll take a look at the Redskins, obviously. We'll see, because nobody's paying any attention
nobody's
to the Redskins.
Nobody's paying attention.
Nope. So we're going to take a look at the Redskins just to make sure that we do our due diligence here and avoid any sort of upset bug this weekend. We'll all do that. And Russell S. Baxter, pro football guru, will be with us in
what's
the second
his Twitter?
Hour.
R.S.
Bax Football Guru.
Bax Football Guru.
Okay.
B-A-X.
B-A-X.
We'll be on the show. And then Pete Shepard at 4 o'clock. As for us, big pregame social on Sunday. If you're out there in Washington, call in if you're having your tailgate. And for the rest of us, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.